It's Tuesday, 2 days away now from the NFL draft, and it's time to decide, Steve. Who do the fans want the Bills to draft at quarterback?
Also at 1 o'clock, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, NFL Insider, is going to join us to tell us what he thinks of all of this.
Bills are going to draft a quarterback. They have some quarterbacks, including Nathan Peterman. He joins us live on the show at 12:30.
One Bills Live starts now.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Drive. Welcome to Orchard Park, New York. A little cloudier today, a little cooler today than it was yesterday, but feels like spring finally here in Western New York. Feels like the draft's coming up in a couple of days. It is Tuesday, the draft 2 days away. We have a good show for you. John Murphy in our One Buffalo studio alongside our co-host Steve Tasker. Day two, day one. You got through it okay, Steve? You didn't wake up today and
No. I feel better today than I did yesterday.
In what way? You mean going
the weekend was hard. Like I told you, I walked the course and I was sore and stiff getting up on Monday morning. But then I got up, you know, of course, then you get home yesterday and I had, I mean, my arms are all scraped up. I had yard work to do when I got home yesterday. And
yard work?
It's kind of nice getting off work. Well, I got out of here about, I don't know, quarter of four yesterday. And so I had some time, right, to get some work done. And I tried to get some work done and it took its toll on me. I got scratches and stuff all over my arms.
Be careful.
That's
I did a little work at home, working on hot tub stuff, cleaning stuff out. Didn't come up with any scratches. Maybe I wasn't working hard enough.
I'll tell you this. I don't want you talking about hot tub stuff because my family has been trying. I don't have one.
We just got one a year ago.
What do you think?
Like it.
Like it a lot? Like it?
Yeah, like it a lot.
Everybody needs one like it? Or
no, you don't need it. No, you don't need it.
Because my family, you know, all five kids, and I got sons that are now.
They might come around more often if you get that. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But listen, if everybody's got to have one, and everybody says everybody's got to have one, I might think about getting one. But I don't want to have to drain my hot tub and refill it. And
every 3 months, it's not that big a deal. Every 3 or 4 months. The problem this year was the weather was so bad, I had to wait for a while. I mean, I should have drained it and fixed it 1st of April. Here it is 4 weeks later. I was finally able to get to it because the weather has been so bad.
Yeah, I guess from what I understand, because I don't have one, everybody says it's great when it's like in the summer times and stuff when you go out, but also in the winter when it's really cold, when it's snowing and stuff. But like the last month and a half, I don't want to be out there in 38 and rainy.
I didn't go out there much the last month.
Yeah, right?
You know when it was great this past winter? Well, it's fall, late winter. Long Bills trip, come home. You know, do you get like this when you're on a plane and your back hurts and everything hurts and you're sore?
Yeah,
you know,
I get it.
So there were a couple of trips where I get home at like late midnight or later and I'm cold and I'm sore and I want to go to sleep and the hot tub takes care of everything. Just you get in there just for 20 minutes and chill. All of a sudden you go right to sleep.
That's,
you can't beat it.
That's kind of what I hear because it's not like an all-time thing. But when you like that, when it's a late night or whatever,
especially getting off a plane.
It hits you and it is absolute the perfect thing at the perfect time.
Sometimes it helps to have refreshments there too.
It's always good for a cold brew.
Something along those lines.
Well, listen,
Hot Tub Talk with Steve Tasker. Welcome to the show. We talk about this in our meeting today, and I said, I'm not going to talk about hot tubs, but whatever. Maybe we'll do 3 hours of hot tub talk.
No.
Are you up for that?
No.
Of course not, because the draft
is
here.
A minute is good.
2 days away is the NFL draft, and we got a heck of a show coming up here today. We really do. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, about 25 minutes away, Nathan Peterman will join us. You know, we've talked about quarterbacks on this show, obviously, prior to you coming here, for months now. And every once in a while, we'll get a tweet or a call, and somebody say, well, what about A.J. McCarron? What about Nathan Peterman? We haven't forgotten about him. We see him out there now in the off-season conditioning program.
Yeah.
I think Nathan Peterman has something to say about who lines up and plays quarterback for the Bills this year.
People are still on him about the start that he got in L.A., and they forget he had a start here. And I thought it was, oh, man, what bum luck. He had a chance to redeem himself after the L.A. start, coming back and getting a start against Indianapolis. And then it turns out there's a foot of snow on the field, you know, and everybody's like, how do you even know what's going to happen? You can't evaluate anybody in that. No. And that's the game. Also, he got a concussion. He got injured late in the game. So he had a little bit of a snake-bitten season there to start his career.
Yeah, we'll talk to him about some of that. Nathan Peterman is going to join us at 12:30 today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, good guest. We'll see how long we can keep him. Ian Rappaport, rap sheet from NFL.com.
Reason bad I say reputation.
That, well, no, we were telling you, we had Ian on in the summer at training camp. He was visiting Bills camp, And we're, you know, it was myself and Donald. We're into it for like 6-7 minutes. All of a sudden, he's on the air live with us. Looks at his phone and goes, "I got to go. Get up, gets up, and walks out."
Takes now, the headphones off and
we
leaves.
We all, you know, have other jobs, obviously, and Ian doesn't owe us anything. But to look at his phone and go, "I got to go." And he just got up and walked out. It was kind of bizarre, but we'll give him a shot today.
Well, if he leaves, we have a backup plan. Coming on at 2 o'clock is Bruce Smith.
We got a Hall of Famer coming up at 2, Bruce Smith.
Bruce is coming on because you talk about the draft. First overall draft in 1985. 85, my year.
First overall pick.
First overall pick in the 1985 draft. And I think, too, I'm going to ask him when he get him on because I remember he was in New York and he was one of the first picks of the draft that they brought to New York for the day, for the draft. It didn't happen back then, but it – starting with him, I believe, I'm going to ask him, starting with him, they started bringing these guys in, and now it's a thing. You know, they got this green room, they got 20 guys, and they got their 50, you know, people that are hangers-on and entourage, family members, agents, brothers, sisters, all of this stuff, and it's kind of a family affair back in the green room. But it started back then in very small way with our boy Bruce Smith, and he's going to come on with us at 2.
Bruce is with us at 2, a lot to talk about today. And we want to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, reach out and talk to us on Twitter at One Bills Drive, or at Steve's Twitter site, at SteveTasker89. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3. That's the guest lineup. Here's the topic lineup. I like look, we're down to it now, right? I mean, we've talked about quarterbacks for months. People have favorites. I get that, but
Murph, we are
two days away. Most of us away. You probably feel the same way, listeners, viewers. You can't wait till the draft's here.
Oh my God.
Because you're eager to see what the Bills do. Number one, number two, because you're sick of hearing about it.
Listen,
you're sick of talking about it. I think we are too, but it's important. It's the most important day of the offseason.
Hey, a few listeners, it's good for you because Murph and I sit here and you sift through all the websites that we go to and we frequent. We listen to people we know. We talk to people we don't know. And we read all these articles, look at headlines, and you can't wade through the amount of material there is to go through about these drafts. There's mock drafts. There's player evaluations. There's final mock drafts. There's final player evaluations. There's rumors. There's reports from executives. There's unnamed reports from a high-up source in this team. There's ownership. They got a player on the beach in L.A. that said, and they're dissecting what he said and did. It is endless. I mean endless. And this, I am just ready for it to be done.
Me too.
I mean, I love it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking really forward to it. And I think that's part of it because we've cut it up just about every way we can cut it up and talk about it.
Really looking forward to it and really looking forward to it to be over. So we have certainty about what the Bills are doing and so that we can talk about something else for a little while.
And for the same thing, we're going to be on at 8 o'clock on draft night, round one. When the draft comes on television, we're going to be on WGR Sports Radio 550, and we're going to be talking about it all the way through the Bills' first two picks. And last year was a little bit of a horror show because we got caught a little blindsided. I wasn't here then, but I was actually in the building, and I was emceeing the Sweetholders event. There's like 3,000 people in there, and they got to say it was great, really cool. You know, they did it up nice. There's all these people, and the Bills. Remember, Bills traded down, and then they didn't have a pick, and then they traded down again. I can't even remember how it was so anticlimactic for Bills fans here. It turned into it was horrible.
Now ultimately it turned out well with
Trudeau. Ultimately it was great. Yeah. I mean they killed it, but nobody knew it was coming, so we couldn't really be ready for it.
We're going to talk about the draft today, and our Twitter poll today deals with the draft. And after all of this build up, and really after a year of discussion about trying to get a quarterback, we decided today is the day. We didn't want to wait anymore. Today's the day. We want to hear from you. All right, which one do you want? Which quarterback are you looking for? That's our Twitter poll today. Which quarterback do you want the Buffalo Bills to get? Not talking about how they get it. Not talking about what they give up to get it. Those are important considerations. Not talking about where they get it. Is it the second pick, the sixth pick, the 12th pick? None of that on the table. Which quarterback do you want the Buffalo Bills to get? And this is important, too. It's a two-part question, which I want to hear from people this, too, because we are so close to the draft now. What changed in your mind about your evaluation of these quarterbacks? Has your perception of these quarterback prospects changed now? Only 2 days left. And which quarterback do you want for the Bills? On Twitter right now, early returns, 37% of you say UCLA's Josh Rosen or somebody else. 29% of you say Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma. 26% of you say Sam Darnold from USC. Only 8% say Josh Allen. So two-part question. We'd love to talk to you about it on the telephone line. Which quarterback do you want for the Bills, and has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed with 2 days left? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Yeah.
I asked a question about change. We asked a question about change because I wonder if people went into this open-minded. You know, there's so much negativity about Josh Allen. I get it. Completion percentage, it jumps out at you, 57%. So much negativity. I wonder if anybody took the time to maybe look at some of the video online. There's plenty of video online, draftbreakdown.com. Not just highlights, but virtually every play from every one of these quarterbacks, every draft prospect, and said, huh, that's interesting. I don't understand how, and I'll read one tweet that came in on this, Steve, that I'm not, it does, you know, I don't have a favorite in this draft. I'll be honest with you. Whoever they get, I look forward to watching that guy play, watching that guy develop. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah. I don't want to close the door on Josh Allen because he's 57% completion percentage. He knows it's a problem. He did an interview with somebody the other day, I think in Cleveland, talking about the perception of him is like he's some sort of wild quarterback, doesn't know what he's doing. Look, there's a reason why he's been mentioned as a possible number one overall pick. There is.
Go, man.
There is a reason why, and it's because of his physical attributes, which is kind of what the job is all about. How do you throw it? How do you spin it? Do you have a strong arm? Can you fight through the strong winds? He can do all that. He's got deficiencies as well. They all do. But I'm not just talking about Josh Allen. I just want to hear from people. If at any point during the last several months, had your perception changed about any of these quarterbacks? Maybe you went in and thought, well, Josh Rosen is too rich and his parents are wealthy and maybe he wouldn't be the right
guy.
Doesn't
care enough.
Doesn't care, not passionate enough. Maybe you went into this and said, oh, Baker Mayfield grabbed his crotch. There's no way I want him. Well, maybe you've changed. I'd want to hear that if it has. Or if it hasn't, tell me why. I just don't want to get – this happens. It's not just a sports thing. I'm sorry to get on the soapbox here.
People
get locked into their positions and won't even listen to somebody else. You know what I mean? Yeah. People get locked in, whether it's politics or, in this case, draft picks, quarterbacks. You get locked into, this is what I believe, and I'm right, you're wrong. I mean, we've had even tweets like that last week. Remember, I think I complained to you about people saying, you know, you love that guy. Well, I don't love any of them, and I don't hate any of them. I think they're all worthy potential first-round picks.
No, I like
all of
them.
Let's see how it goes.
I like them all. I like all of them.
Whoever the Bills draft, I'm looking forward to seeing him progress and develop.
My love for these guys goes all the way down to Mason Rudolph and Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Those six guys, I think, are worth taking a look at, and they're certainly worthy of being a draft pick. Now, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about today in this Twitter poll thing where we've got, you know, these four guys and Josh Rosen plus everybody else listed. We're not talking about trading up, trading down. If you had your choice, if you had your first pick of the draft and you're going to take one of these quarterbacks, which one do you take? And I want to know why. Because we go down the list, and Murph and I, you can just tell Murph is, you know, was high on Josh Allen, likes him. And
I like Sam Darnold
better. He likes Darnold. And Darnold's good, too, because you start listing these guys, and what happens is you start listing their talents, sure. Then you start listing what this becomes about is their faults.
Yeah.
And Darnold's fault is he turns it over.
Right.
Well, you can coach that, I think. I mean, you can coach that out of the guy. So does that put him back? Does that put him at the top of the list for a lot of these coaching stats? Because I'm telling you what, a lot of coaches believe they can coach anything out of anybody. They can coach the guy and win with just about anybody. So if you give a guy with, and his flaw is in college, he tended to try and fit it in or make a throw he shouldn't have made. You got to feel like you can talk to a kid on a film study and say, listen, don't make that throw. You talk to him in practice and, hey, no, don't do that. That kind of thing. Get into his mind and say, hey, listen, keep your thought process right here, and you can coach that out of the kid. Then you look at Josh Allen, and you think, well, the one thing, can you coach accuracy? Well, yeah, you can. You got to work on his mechanics, work on his arm motion. You got to get his up on his feet. You got to, you know, make sure his base is set when he throws, all of that kind of stuff. You go to Josh Rosen. I don't know if you can coach passion or not, but Josh Rosen, by all counts, has as good an arm and is as accurate and as pro-ready football player as you're going to find in any of these guys. He's the most flawless. And now you see, what is his flaw? They think the guy's a little too smart for his own britches, and he doesn't need football. Well, okay. Then you got Baker Mayfield, who's got a high completion percentage, very accurate thrower. He wins. His teammates love him. But he's only 6 foot and a half inch. Well, okay, you can't coach height. But you've got a lot of other guy. You got another guy in the league who's maybe the best guy ever statistically, and that's Drew Brees. He's that height.
Yeah.
So all these guys have their flaws
and their strengths.
And their strengths. So I'm really intrigued by all of this. And plus, you got all these teams, Buffalo being one of them, Miami just ahead of Buffalo, and then you got Denver, you got the Jets, you got the Giants, and of course Cleveland at the top. All of them want a quarterback. All of them. And I think, and I've told you this, Murph, you don't believe it, I think there's no way the Giants don't pick a quarterback.
Oh, I bet money on it right now.
Why?
Because from what I know of Dave Gettleman and from what I know of where they're at, I don't think they're going to go for a quarterback. I think they're going to watch Darnold go to the Browns at number one, and then they're going to look at Saquon Barkley and say, this is the best running back in the last several years. We need that guy. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think that's insanity.
Well,
I do. You know why? I told you why. The Giants are a competitive organization. Even when they're down, they're 5-11. You know, they don't drop. They're never going to be They're never going to be the number two pick in the draft with a chance to get a franchise changing quarterback again. Not since Eli, and Eli's 38. So they were number one when they picked Eli, or number two when they picked Eli. They picked Phillip Rivers, and remember that Eli and Phillip Rivers, they did the swap with the San Diego Chargers. The Giants picked Phillip Rivers second and traded him to the San Diego Chargers for Eli. That's how long ago it's been since I think it's the perfect spot for them to get Eli's successor. If they don't do it this year, what are they going to do? What are they going to do for
win 10 Eli, or 11 games this year?
That's
probably.
Great.
That's what Eli's, their plan is.
Eli's 38.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's done. Gone. He's played bad for the last 3 or 4 years. They tried to bench him last year. I'll exaggerate to make a point. You got a quarterback who's old and stinks. You're not going to take a quarterback in this draft? You got to.
No, you don't. And I don't think they will. But we'll discuss that. We've got a couple of days to talk about it.
All right.
I'll get to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. And we want to know from you, had your perception of the quarterbacks in this draft changed? The number one quarterbacks, obviously. Number two, who do you want? Who do you hope the Bills wind up with? Don't worry. We're not talking about what will – well, you can consider what it would cost, but we're not going to worry about what it would cost, how much could you pay.
In a perfect world. Who do you have to trade with?
Who do you want as the Bills quarterback selected in this draft? That's our Twitter poll. Right now, 38% of you say Josh Rosen or somebody else, which kind of confuses it. I'm going to assume that's mostly Josh Rosen votes,
it
right?
It could be Lamar Jackson, too, or Mason Rudolph. Could be Mike White from Western Kentucky, for all I know.
29% of you say Baker Mayfield, 25% Sam Darnold, 8% Josh Allen. And we'll get to some of your tweets in a moment. You can ring us up at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. In fact, let's squeeze in a call here. Raj from Williamsville. Go ahead, Raj. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I think I would go with Josh Rosen based on what Brandon Bean has been stating consistently, that he's looking for a pocket passer. So the more the videos you look at how he plays, I think he would fit in perfectly well for us. And my second thing is the draft philosophy for the Bills, I hope, it should be either you should go all the way up, whatever it takes, even if it be like giving away our next year first-round pick, get that Josh Rosen kind of a quarterback. Or if we decide to stay put at 12, I would rather fill the other needs like offensive tackle or linebacker because we already have A.J. McCarron, who was supposed to be a project when he was drafted in 2014. And now he has that NFL experience as a backup and see what he can do. Because most of the times, I mean, you're looking at Mason Rudolph or any of the other quarterbacks, the chances are that may not even work out. So I would rather go all the way. Do whatever it takes to get the guy that we need, which is Josh Rosen, in my opinion, or just fill the other holes. I mean, that's at this point.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the price too much today or the cost of moving up because that's not part of our question. But
there's a Josh Rosen vote.
There's a Josh Rosen vote, and I get that. And look, if Josh Rosen, A, falls to 12 for the Bills, or B, is there when I think the Bills are more likely to pick maybe 6, 7, If he's there, they'll be happy to take him. Sure. And I'd be happy to see it happen. He is, to my mind, and I've watched all these guys, watch the video, the best passer of the group. Now, there's more to playing quarterback in the NFL than being a good passer. But I do believe that Josh Rosen is the best passer, best overall arm, most accurate, quick release. He is the best passer of this group. Is he going to be the most successful quarterback? Different question.
Yeah, but you're right. And the only question with him is, well, there's a couple, I guess. One is he was a little injury prone at UCLA. He took some hits and got a concussion, got some other injuries that held him out of action. And the NFL is a bigger, faster, stronger, for lack of a better term, more dangerous league. Will he be able to hold up to that? And secondly, there's a little question about his personality, what kind of teammate he would be, how he would fit into the pro game. Is he going to, take to coaching that well? Is he going to be a guy that is going to be a problem to get on the field and get motivated and to run the offense? Is he going to be distracted? That's going to be an interesting question that I don't think you're going to find out until you get the guy in training camp and start coaching him. So there's no doubt. It's accepted, I think, that if you took their names and numbers off and just watch their motion or whatever and look at their statistics, Josh Rosen is at the top of this list about the fact that they anticipate his ability to step right in and start quicker and more effectively than any of the other guys in this draft.
He's a passer.
Yeah.
One Bills note that is, I guess, newsworthy today. Steve and I debated whether this was new news or not fake news, but new news or not. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport is going to join us at 1 o'clock today. This morning on Good Morning Football said, don't look so much for the Bills to trade up all the way to 2. He said the Bills are more likely to pull the trigger if the quarterback they like slips to number 5 or 6. I believe that. I've always believed that. Rappaport mentioned it today, so it gets attention as something new. I agree. It's not really new, but I do think it's maybe a way that Bills fans should refocus their look at the draft. A couple of weeks ago, it was like, how are we going to get up to number 2 to get that number 2 Giants pick? Well, maybe you don't have to. Maybe you get to where the Denver Broncos are. The Broncos have said they're interested they're open to making a deal. That seems to be – look, this is not a thing that could probably happen until the draft gets going, but say the draft gets going and I'm not going to do a whole mock here, but say, Saquon Barkley is gone and maybe the Notre Dame guard is gone and Sam Darnold is gone. And now we're a couple of picks away from Denver at 5. And now the Bills, you would think, might get a little more active, calling Denver for a second time and saying, hey, we're 2 picks away. This is our package for us to move up and you to move down to 12. What do you think? That's kind of the scenario that Peter King presented in his Monday Morning Quarterback column yesterday. Get to 5. Where Denver is. Get to 6 where Indy is. Don't give away your whole draft. And maybe you get a crack at Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield maybe. How many quarterbacks are going to go in the first 4 or 5? More than – do you think 4 are going to go in the first 4 or 5? That seems unlikely to me right now.
Well, the wild card there is the Giants. If they do pick a quarterback like I'm thinking or if they pick Saquon Barkley like you're thinking they pick, and then the Browns certainly – and we've gone down this road. What if the Browns pick 2 quarterbacks, which it could always happen if they got that. But and it may happen – but I think Bradley Chubb is in that mix too for a guy who's a pass rusher, a guy that the Browns could really use in their defensive scheme to go along with their first pick of the draft last year, or first round pick last year. So, all this stuff comes into play, but I think, it's perfectly feasible for the Bills to sit tight, see if they can get up to 5-6, the 5th or 6th pick with a package of picks and have one of those top 4 quarterbacks, or maybe their 5th quarterback. They're not telling anybody which one they like. It's been a lot of speculation about Josh Allen. Been a lot of speculation about, all of them, Baker Mayfield. I know Baker Mayfield was here in town. So were the other guys. You don't know who they like.
Right.
But if the guy they really like falls to those spots, they'll start – The phone call is going to happen, question.
Who do you like is a question we throw out there today. Give us a call. Who do you want the Bills to wind up with the quarterback, early quarterback pick in this draft? It's our Twitter poll as well. And our Twitter poll also asks the question, has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed as round one approaches? We're only 2 days away now. Which quarterback do you want for the Bills? Let's get to our tweet sheet. We've had some interesting, thoughtful tweets on this already from Daryl F29. when we raise the question, who do you want the Bills to pick? Daryl says, the more I hear, the less enamored I, and I think this is where his perception has changed, the more I hear, the less enamored am I with the prospect of trading with the team to trading a ton to move up. Charles Davis, Mike Mayock, and others have said there's no Luck or Wentz or even Winston and Mariota in this class. That's enough to give me a healthy dose of pause. That's from Daryl on our tweet sheet. That's a very good point. Now, I'm not there yet, but I understand why people are. I just don't want Bills fans to be afraid of pulling the trigger, making a bold move. I think that would almost go against what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have tried to implement here in their new stewardship of the Buffalo Bills. Don't be afraid to make the move. I understand if other draft experts say it might not be worth it. No Luck, no Mariota, no Winston. Okay, I get that. Somebody's going to be good out of this 4, 5, 6 pick quarterback class, right? Somebody's going to be really good, I think. Maybe 2 or 3 of them.
And you've got a 1 in 6 pick chance after somebody else has picked the guy they think it is. I mean, I think your odds drop the further down the draft you go.
Yeah.
But we always say, except that the Bills may have a guy they're honed in on and focused on, and that guy may be different than other teams' perception. And they may get after that guy. And Brandon Bean told us yesterday they've got a plan for each of those quarterbacks in case that quarterback is the guy they get. There's no doubt that they will be able to work with any of those quarterbacks, and they're willing to work with any of those quarterbacks that come to them. But they've got a different plan in place already. They've talked about it, about coaching these players differently if they get him. Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph, all these names, the Bills have already talked about all of them and what they would do differently with each one to maximize their skill set. And I think that's an interesting insight as to the fact that one of them is going to be a Buffalo Bill if by hook or crook.
We're on the tweet sheet here, and we want to know from you, which quarterback do you want for the Bills, and has your perception of these premium quarterbacks changed in recent weeks? From T-Man2999, anyone but Josh Allen, as long as they don't overpay. Jackson at 12 would be solid. Don't want to see the Bills give up both first-rounders. There's a lot there, T-Man2999, but he starts with anything but Josh Allen. I mean, what are people going to turn in their season tickets if they draft Josh Allen, really? I mean, he's a first-round caliber quarterback. Anybody think Josh Allen's getting out of the first round?
No, he's not getting out of the top 10.
Right.
Because he's an elite talent physically, period. When you get to that point, and I'll tell you this, I've said this before, when you get to the top 5, 10 picks of the NFL draft, despite all the completion percentages and the off-the-field antics and the character issues and the passion issues and the accuracy – when that guy stands in front of NFL scouts and he measures off the charts and he's strong, he's got a huge arm, the velocity on his ball coming out is big, the guy can run like a deer, he looks like an NFL quarterback, that's what it takes to get in the top 10 of the NFL draft. That's what it takes physically. Josh Allen is that compared to all these other guys in the draft. He's that guy. He's not getting out of the top 10.
Yeah.
He is not dropping out of the top 10.
And I'm not accusing the guy on Twitter, T-Man2999, of saying he would bail on the Bills. And I get you have favorites, and maybe you have least favorites. And Josh Allen, in fact, we did the Twitter poll several weeks ago now. Who's your least favorite possible quarterback selection for the Bills? It was Josh Allen. I don't get it. That's all I'm saying.
The over-under is 60 seconds. After the Bills make the pick of the quarterback they got, 60 seconds before the first tweet comes out that says they got the wrong guy.
Right.
60
right.
seconds.
No matter who it is.
Somebody.
And if it's Josh Allen, it seems like there'll be more than a few.
Whichever quarterback it is, it's going to be that 60 seconds before somebody tweets in, they got the wrong guy.
And nobody will have that answer for a couple of years, really, definitively.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's a tweet on our tweet sheet from slightly biased Bills fan. We asked the question, which quarterback do you want for the Bills? Slightly biased Bills fan. I give the nod to Josh Rosen. Mostly because I think the Bills can actually swing a trade for him, but he is the prototypical NFL quarterback that I think Bean is searching for, and he will be a great representative for the Bills brand. I agree with the prototypical part. Brandon Bean from almost day one talked about we need a pocket passer. The NFL is about the quarterback, about having a quarterback who can stand in the pocket, deliver the ball quickly, efficiently, in the right spot, accurately. As I said a few minutes ago, Josh Rosen is the best passer in this group. So he does kind of fit the bill. I do, and Steve put it very articulately a couple of minutes ago. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's too smart. I don't care about if his parents were wealthy. I don't care about his political leanings. The only question I have, and I'm not worried about it, is what kind of a teammate Josh Rosen would be because of the whole package that he is. Is he going to be a good teammate? Is he going to be a guy that guys will rally around? I'm sure they've asked that question and done their best to get to the answer. And all these teams have.
And here's the mental exercise we all go through. You start picking guys who are successful in the league and comparing them and their qualities to guys who you're about to draft, all these quarterbacks. So you're comparing Baker Mayfield and his size to Drew Brees. You're comparing Baker Mayfield and his personality to guys like either Brett Favre, who is extremely successful, or Johnny Manziel.
Right.
All right, you pick those. Josh Rosen. You pick Josh Rosen, and he turns into a guy like Jeff George or Jay Cutler type of quarterback, or he's a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's too cool for school and really ruffled a lot of feathers when he rolled in and Brett Favre was still the quarterback there.
Now Rodgers on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and they don't even like each other, but Aaron Rodgers is pretty good.
Yeah.
So those are the comparisons you make. And you can go down the list. Just go down the list. You'll find 7 articles on the internet about Lamar Jackson comparing him to Michael Vick. Well, okay. There's also guys that you can compare him to that weren't any good. You know, so
that is so intellectually lazy, I think.
It is, but that's what we do. That's what we do because we transpose our – and then – but there's positives and negatives about each guy. There are positives of those attributes and there are negatives to those attributes. You know, I mean, so what the guy's going to be, he's going to be a mix of everything. He's going to be himself.
Yeah.
And if the guy can be himself and he can be really pretty good, then all those people – you know, that's – we'll find out in 3 years.
Yeah. One more tweet from the tweet sheet from Brian Andel. Okay, people saying these California kids don't play in the cold weather is stupid. Aaron Rodgers, Cal to Green Bay, Rosen's got an arm. I'm not going to pass on trying to get him because he plays on the West Coast. Of course not.
No.
California quarterbacks, there's no
Listen, you're accusing me of being lazy by comparing these guys. That's lazy. Listen, folks, let me just tell you something. Think about yourself. Look yourself if you're driving, look yourself in the rearview mirror real quick and said, how hard would I play for 7 figures, even if it is cold weather?
You'd play.
You're going to play, you're going to play your best.
That's our tweet sheet. Some of your thoughts, some of your answers to our question, which quarterback do you want in the draft from the Bills, and has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed as we approach the draft 2 days away? Speaking of quarterbacks, Bills have a couple on the roster. One of them standing by to join us in a minute. Nathan Peterman will join us when we return. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Steve Tasker on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We talk about quarterbacks so much, about draft quarterbacks, and it's important to remind ourselves that there are 2 quarterbacks on the roster right now. One of them in studio with us. Happy to have second-year quarterback Nathan Peterman with us. Nathan, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do you get tired of everybody just focusing on what quarterbacks are available in the draft? Do you ever hear like saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm over here.
I don't really know. I don't pay attention to much of what's being focused on except what's in this building. And you know, that's just every day going out and trying to get better, kind of just, you know, focusing on that.
Yeah, you turn 24 in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here you are. This is your start of like your second lap. I mean, and everything kind of changes when you've kind of seen the full calendar year in the NFL. You're not a rookie anymore. You've seen mini camps. You know the guys out there. You were listing all the receivers you guys are tossing it around to this week. How has that changed things for you? I mean, how much more comfortable do you feel
year? Yeah. Right? A lot more comfortable. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's been great seeing all the guys back, like we talked about. And then really just to know what's ahead of us. I mean, you know, some of the other rookies we were talking the other day, just of, you know, how much uncertainty has kind of cleared up for us. And, you know, obviously in the NFL, things are always changing. So there's still that aspect of things. But, you know, at least schedule-wise, hey, I know what an OTA looks like. I know, you know, what camp looks like. And so to kind of settle into that aspect of it and, again, just work on getting better every day and have some clarity around that, that's been good.
It's not just getting comfortable in the building. You got, you know the town, you know where you're living, you got a place to stay. You don't have to iron all.
Snow.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You
leave your golf clubs at home.
Right.
Yeah. A little bit about this. You had a huge up and kind of a roller coaster year last year. You got guys got out to a fast start, and you got a quick start against an LA, and it didn't go well. And people are still mad at you, so you got to live with that, right? But then, and I was so bummed for you. We talked about this a little bit ago. I was so bummed because you're going to get a chance to start against the Colts. It's going to be all. You're going to come back, get a chance of redemption, and there's a foot of snow on the field. So tell us a little bit about what you learned in that in a roller coaster of a season like that.
Yeah, I learned so much. You know, obviously things didn't go how I wanted them to. I mean, nobody wants your first start to be that. But at the same time, I took it as, you know, it was all just great lessons for me. And I know, you know, God has a plan for everything, especially, you know, with the weather conditions, the way they were my second start. You know, sometimes things just aren't meant to be necessarily, you know, at that time. And I kind of realized that God's timing's perfect and, you know, just trusted in that. And then learned a lot from my mistakes I made. You know, there was, you know, certainly had a few of those. So to learn from that and then now to really use that moving forward. And to never make those again, I think is going to be, you know, really beneficial for me and our team here to help us win.
Nate, here's the silver lining about the Colts game. You're probably never going to see conditions like that again. And if you do see anything like it, you'll be ready, right?
Yeah,
you
know what it's like. Speak too soon. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm ready for anything that's thrown at me, that's for sure.
Yeah, talk a little bit now about this year. I mean, you new coaching staff, new you know, on the offensive side, Brian Daboll's in. You got all these new guys. Talk a little bit about a new quarterbacks coach. Talk about how that's been getting settled in. And, you know, you walked into a really nice locker room last year. It turned into a really great feel, vibe coming out of your locker room. And now you got to start from scratch building again with a new offensive staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, for me, I've actually had five different coordinators in the last 5 years. So it's been kind of just, you know, the normal for me, learning a new offense, digging into it. But at the same time, football concepts are the same, you know. So I'm just, you know, digging into his language, his terminology, and his style of play. And it's been great to be on the, you know, in the classroom and then on the field with the guys, you know, these last couple of weeks have really been fun.
Nathan Peterman, our guest, Bills quarterback. We had Brandon Bean in here yesterday, Nate, and we were talking about Brian Daboll and what he might have in mind for the offense. And he thought that part of what Coach Daboll might be doing is just seeing how the draft goes, seeing who comes in, if there's any other quarterbacks, and then kind of waiting until that moment to kind of fully install whatever the passing game might look like. Do you find that to be the case? Do you think that's what's going on?
You know, I don't know. I know we're in day one, day two right now, and whatever he's throwing at us, I'm trying to pick it up as quick as possible. So I'm not sure about all the
high-level
stuff. For sure. I mean, he's got his complicated things and his little intricacies in there, but just trying to pick them up as fast as I can.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like now. You bounce back. You're getting ready for this. The next phase two starts next week. You guys can kind of get on the field and start walking through this stuff instead of just watching it on tape. And you kind of put words – you put actions with the words that you're learning. And that's basically what it is. There's no new football ideas, really. There's new language. You got to call everything you had last year a different name virtually, correct?
Exactly. And so the new words and then really just a new style. You know, every coach, I think, has their own little style they put on things, whether, you know, it be tempo or the huddle or whatever, the little details that kind of go behind the logistics of things. So just getting used to that, getting used to a couple new faces we have also in our building and getting better with it.
Nate, what was the biggest thing you took from last year? You had a couple of starts, mixed success, I guess, but a full season's worth of practice around this team. What was the one thing that maybe the biggest thing that you took from last year into this offseason?
Yeah, I think just to, you know, roll with the punches and control what you can control, you know, put your nose down and work. And then, you know, that there's a lot of ups and downs in life and there's a lot of ups and downs in football, certainly. So just, you know, weather through those and keep pushing forward and learn from your mistakes.
Okay, so the draft this week. And give us a little bit of what you were doing last year. I mean, you fifth round, right? So tell us a little bit about walk through your day and how it found out and all of that. Just walk us through.
Yeah, it was a crazy day for us. You know, obviously there's so much uncertainty with the draft. You know, you never know. You hear different things all the time. And luckily we were on the beach with my family where I live. We kind of, you know, decided we'd be around a relaxing place. And I don't get to see my family very much, so we kind of had a reunion of sorts, and you know, we were just kind of hanging out, and then, you know, the Bills called, and it was pretty emotional when they called, for sure.
How did you get, like, heads-up calls from a couple of teams as well? Like, did they get any other four? Because a lot of times guys say, well, this team called, and if we're there in right. five picks or whatever, they're going to take me, and then you get a call from a different team.
Yeah, no, it was all quiet.
That's like the worst, right? It's right. like they forgot who you were, right?
Right, so it was, the draft is a roller coaster, that's for sure. Kind of, I guess, how the whole NFL is, and but, you know, like I said, when I got the call from Orchard Park, it was just an unbelievable feeling. And then you get to see your name, on TV and have all your family there with you. It's a pretty great moment.
Yeah. One of the things you've done, I think you guys were talking about it beforehand, you've thrown with Luke Tasker, right?
Yeah,
that's
this
right.
This offseason. Talk about that.
Talented guy. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, he was working out at the same place that I was. And, we both got to help each other out a little bit. You know, him being in the Canadian Football League and having, mini camp, I guess, this week. So he was awesome to work with. I guess he gets some talent, from his dad
his
over
mom,
here.
Yeah.
His mom.
Yeah. And you also had, Naaman Roosevelt was there.
That's
and
right.
A couple
yep.
other guys, tight end from UB
yep,
was there.
Yep,
so,
right.
Weiser.
Yep.
And
Weiser,
so
yep.
you got and you're out in, I guess, Elma and Salins at yep. that place there where they go out. It's a great facility, but you're right. They got low ceilings, right? You can't really throw the deep ball.
Right, but I was thankful. I mean, I'm thankful to the guys there, Ben, at Salins and STA Performance over there.
Right.
Just did a great job helping us out, kind of where you can't throw in here because of the rules and, kind of that they weathered the storm with us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How good is Luke Tasker? That's the question. Right? He's a CFL star.
He's
right.
Better than me.
He's pretty good.
Better than
I'll
you?
I'll say that. I never, I don't know the comparisons. I won't make those.
I don't want to say he's better than me today because I'm 56 now. Back
for
in the
sure.
day, I'd have given him a run. But, yeah, he's yep. and it's good because the league now and because of social media and the guys, how easy it is to reach out to people.
Mm-hmm.
You can hook up with guys and get good workouts, and
for
guys
sure.
are much and much. It's much easier to help each other,
for sure.
And I think it's a huge plus.
Yep, it was great.
Involved. Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, he's up there this week doing all that, and same thing is going on here. Although you guys, how long? Much longer you got here? Another 7 weeks, is it?
I believe, yeah, middle of June. It's kind of putting in a little bit more on field as we go. So I'm excited to really get fully ramped up, and we'll have practice, not in pads, but still to. To have 11 on 11 again will be fun.
Have they set a date for training camp? Have they let you guys in on that?
I do not know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's just the next few weeks for me.
It's usually 2 weeks before the first preseason game, right around
right.
there.
Well, we haven't got that exact date.
No. No, you'll get it.
No, man.
We got to get through the summer first.
I got vacation. I got a plan.
Exactly.
Right?
Hey, Nathan, A.J. McCarron in your meeting room for, a week or so now. What's
yep.
that like? What kind of relationship do you have with him?
It's been great. He's, a funny guy, really relational guy, too. And we've, been great together, kind of bounced some questions off each other. And it's been good to learn the offense together.
Steve asked you about what you did last year on draft day. What are you going to do this year on draft day? What are you going to do Thursday night? You going to watch? You going to pay attention?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a little date night for my wife and I because, we're only on till Thursdays here. And I'll
right.
come into the facility
right.
on Friday. But, maybe we'll be out, at a nice restaurant eating. Our second anniversary is coming up on Sunday, too.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
That'll be exciting, too.
Yeah, stay away from this place on Thursday.
Were you drafted
yeah.
on your anniversary last year?
The day before
oh,
my
wow.
anniversary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was
can't
pretty
forget
cool.
forget it then.
Nope, it was memorable for sure. Yeah.
Nathan,
forget the draft, Dave. Remember the
anniversary. I'm talking about the
right,
anniversary.
Right.
Thanks for this,
yep.
Nate. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Great talking to you,
guys.
Man.
Yep.
Nathan Peterman, Bills quarterback, joining us in studio. Steve and I back in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Steve Tasker, John Murphy back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We're talking, we just got through talking to Nate Peterman, Buffalo Bills quarterback, about his offseason, what he's up to, what he was up to last draft day, the start he made in L.A., the redemption shot in a foot of snow here against the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. We also have Ian Rappaport coming up at 1 o'clock in just a few minutes, and then, of course, Bruce Smith's coming on at 2.
That'd be cool.
Our question of the day is, who's your quarterback? All these drafts, we've been talking about the draft for the last 100 years,
yeah.
and we're not done yet. We're asking you who you'd pick. Forget about trading up to get him. What's your heart's desire? We want to know what your quarterback is. And one of the great parts about this job, Murph, is, you sit down and watch sports on TV, and you can tell you why, hey, I'm working. You know, it's my job. I got to do it. So this morning, right? I got to watch it. So I'm sitting there this morning drinking coffee, and I'm watching SportsCenter, and the top 10 plays of the day come on. And I'm watching it. You know, you kind of like, okay, I'm not really interested in the hockey plays or the great saves or the defensive plays in or the home runs in baseball. And then it pops up number three in their plays of the day. Brock Schneider, Hamburg High School lacrosse, scores a goal backwards, facing away from the field, back between his legs. It was a great goal. It's a goal, he gets a stop, and then it's – and then he – whack. It was a great shot. So Brock Schneider, congratulations on making – and you know, that's a national broadcast all across the country.
Yeah.
And they happened to catch this. And
that's Channel 7 video.
Yeah, it's Channel 7, and they got up on the national stage of ESPN on the top 10 plays of the day, a little – dipsy-doo between the legs, and good for him.
That's
Brock Schneider,
goal.
Hamburg High School, was a great goal in lacrosse game. Number three of the play of the day.
Great
nationally.
Goal. Can I say, in lacrosse, so you get that. The guys will shoot behind their, you know, around their head or behind their back. You get a little bit of that, you know? I'm not saying, now you're looking at me
I
just
it.
Say, that's a lacrosse goal. That's a, people will do that in lacrosse. Bounce it, you know, whip it behind their head.
Sure. All right, sure. Crush the kid.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Had one moment.
It's
and,
a great moment, and it's
and
great that it was captured
it.
On video.
You killed
I bet
it
there were, not several, I bet there were other goals just like that that didn't have a network affiliate camera there that, you know, nobody captured on video, or maybe somebody got on a little cell phone video. I'm just saying.
The kid had a moment, and you crushed it.
No, I'm glad he had a moment. Congratulations, Brock, right?
Schneider? Brock Schneider. It's good for him. And Hamburg High School, and that's what caught my eyes. Hamburg High School, out just outside of Buffalo, they don't, you know, the national guys, they don't know where it is. And I was, hey, there you go, local guy on national broadcast this morning. So it was one of the things we got going.
I'm not a big ESPN fan, Steve.
Well, I'm not either, but if I'm going to try
I'm
if I'm
great
gonna
be, for Brock.
If I'm going to work while I'm drinking coffee, I don't have, you know.
I find ESPN, you're about to say, I got to watch ESPN. I would submit you really don't have to, because I think ESPN has kind of devolved into crazy, you know, look at this, a social media type video. And you know, the days when I used to watch ESPN every day when I was working in network TV, you know, local TV and network affiliate, every day I'd watch like at 10 in the morning to see what happened last night, what video looks good. You can't really find that on ESPN anymore because they're all about the craziness and the controversy and the social media and who tweeted out something outrageous and, look at this surfing squirrel, you know what I mean? That's kind of what they've evolved into.
Absolutely. It used to be absolutely can't miss television for sports guys like us. And now there's so many other platforms. There's the NFL Network. There's CBS Sports Network, NBC Sports Network. There's all these other platforms that have better stuff.
This is how people watch highlights.
Yeah,
you
on
know,
the phone.
10 o'clock at night.
You're holding up your phone.
Wonder how the Houston Rockets did tonight.
That's exactly right. And, and you're right. It's not the same as it was, but what can I say? I caught it, and I thought.
I'm glad you caught it. I'm not finding fault with that. Right. I think it's great.
No. Don't apologize
I'm
now.
I'm not apologizing.
I get it.
I'm just saying ESPN is less important to me now than it's ever been in the last 30
years. And it's
years.
Getting less so.
Yeah.
And
they know it.
Yeah, I know. It's just,
you know.
In a way, it's sad because I was, remember, in 1980, what is it, 80?
When they came around.
Yeah. And they were showing ping pong at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, people forget.
Almost there again.
It was like cable access local. It was so bad. And then, of course, it got to be the 800-pound gorilla. Now it's not so much.
Best thing on ESPN, actually, their NFL coverage is outstanding. And the NFL shows they do with our buddy Trey Wingo, with all of the NFL shows are pretty much solid. They've lost some talent there, obviously, but they still have solid talent as well, including our buddy Bill Polian, who does a great job on ESPN. There's a bunch of them, you know. Lewis Riddick is outstanding on ESPN. Yeah. There's a bunch of them. Not as many as there were 6-8 months ago, but there's many of them are still there. And that, to me, I will watch ESPN NFL coverage. I will. Yeah. I like that. Our buddy Chris Berman is gone now from ESPN for the most part.
He retired, though. I mean,
I know.
But still, I mean, we're getting to that point.
Yeah.
We're getting to that
they
point.
Are, too. All right, hey, we got a good show, the rest of it, too, 2 hours. Bruce Smith's going to join us at 2 o'clock today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, just a couple of minutes, Ian Rappaport from NFL.com. He'll be happy to hear me trash ESPN, I'm sure. That's coming up when we return. Come on back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you live from Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where it's another day of offseason conditioning. Players on the field in the classroom for a little bit more than half a day. Phase one of the offseason program, it includes strength and conditioning and some classroom time with the coaching staff. Next week, they start phase two, which allows for on-field workouts and team practices by individual position groups. No live contact. Meantime, all the focus around most of the NFL is on the draft. Ian Rappaport's going to join us in a moment from NFL Network. He told Good Morning Football on NFL Network earlier today that the Buffalo Bills are more likely to pull the trigger on a quarterback if, the quarterback they like slips to number 5 or number 6, not number 2. Unlikely for the Bills to trade for the Giants' number 2 pick, according to Ian Rappaport. ESPN reports that Baker Mayfield has definitely been a part of the Browns' considerations for the number 1 overall pick. That's what Adam Schefter said. The former Oklahoma quarterback, according to reports, cannot be ruled out as a possibility for the top overall selection on Thursday night. The Giants getting ready to make their pick. It will be second overall, and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says the Giants have had trade discussions centered around offensive tackle Ereck Flowers. The belief is the new Giants administration will trade him for draft compensation. Devin Hester, who just officially retired as a member of the Chicago Bears yesterday, said he's not happy with the talk that the NFL might soon eliminate kickoff returns in the game. Hester said kickoff and punt return is one of the key aspects of the quality of football. You've got to let these guys play. That's what it is. 5 NFL teams opening their voluntary mini camps already today. Those teams with new head coaches, the Lions, the Colts, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans, kicking off voluntary mini camp that run today through Thursday. These teams allowed 1 3-day veteran minicamp in which no live contact is permitted. 49ers GM John Lynch says San Francisco will be patient through linebacker Reuben Foster's legal issues and a domestic violence incident, but he said he will not remain on the team if it determines that he hit a woman. Those are the updated headlines from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio with One Bills Live. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man who's breaking news because there's a lot of news out there when it comes to the draft. Happy to have Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. Ian, John Murphy and Steve Tasker in Buffalo, thanks for joining us.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Doing well.
Saw your report on Good Morning Football today about the Buffalo Bills. And can you summarize? It seems like you think it's more likely the Bills do not get up to number 2 now to get with the Giants, huh?
Yeah, I mean, let me say this. It's possible. And, you know, I don't know how many pre-draft phone calls would need to be made between Brandon Bean and Dave Gettleman. They know each other pretty well. I would not think there need to be sort of like a feeling out process. They probably know what each other wants and would do, and I think they could do a deal pretty quickly. I just don't think the Giants want to get all the way back there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Giants want to pick at 12. And, you know, if you're the Bills, do you want to, you know, I would assume that if the Bills were going to trade up, they'd be willing to trade their second first-round pick. But to go from 12 to 2, it probably takes more than that. So do they want to trade next year's pick as well? Like, I don't know. It seems like a lot. Seems like far to go. I'm not sure the Bills need to. I just don't think it's happening.
Well, can I ask you, and I like what you said, you're not sure the Bills need to. What are we talking about here? Some of the quality quarterbacks dropping down to, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in the draft? And which ones are you think likely is to drop down a little bit?
Well, I would be surprised if Darnold or Mayfield is available after, say, 4. As far as the others, they could be. I mean, not saying they're going to be, but there could be. I mean, I could see scenarios where Josh Allen is available at 6, 5 or 6, for instance. I could see scenarios where Josh Rosen is available at 11. You know, what if he's there at 10 and the Bills say, you know what, Rosen's our guy. We're going to go from 12 to 10, and we're going to jump the Dolphins, and we're going to just take our quarterback of the future.
What are
you I could see those scenarios probably more likely than a huge trade-up.
Right, and then you got all those teams between that are not taking quarterbacks. What are some of the position groups that we're going to see go off the board that quickly? And if is there any talent other than outside of Saquon Barkley and maybe Bradley Chubb who – would be worth these teams kind of hanging around for, or maybe stockpiling picks later in the draft for a team to go from like the Dolphins at 11 or the Bills at 12 or the Arizona Cardinals at 15 to jump into the 7, 8, 9 spot, 10 spot, just to move up a few spots? I mean, is there talent away from the quarterback spot that would prevent those teams in there like the Raiders, like the Buccaneers, teams like that from just throwing those picks back to one of those teams to get a quarterback? I mean, are there any other position groups that are that quality and that deep that these teams don't want to give up those picks to another team?
Well, I would say I think there's – in each sort of position group, there's like an elite player or two. And in some of them, there's a big drop-off. Like, let's say the corner position, for instance. You know, it's pretty clear that Denzel Ward is the consensus number one corner. There's a little drop-off after him. So if you're a team that's picking five or six or seven maybe, you have the opportunity to get Denzel Ward, you may not want to drop back to 12 or 11 because you might miss him, and then you have to take a corner that's a little more of a question mark. You know, I think that's something to kind of watch out for. You know, at the linebacker position, you know, you could probably take Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds and be happy with either one. I think it seems to be they're sort of rated similarly. You know, if you want to take a guard, you know, you better get Quentin Nelson because we might not see a guard for 20 more picks. You know, so that's kind of where it gets tough to trade those guys. You know, if you need a safety, let's say you're the Dolphins, let's say you're the Bucks, and you need a safety. You know, you can take Derwin James, or you can pick a safety in the second round because, you know, he's probably the only true safety that goes, you know, before pick 30 or something like that. So I think that's kind of the issue is, you know, there's some separation between the elite players, and after that, there's a just kind of a big clump of guys. So maybe you don't want to trade back because you might lose an elite guy.
With Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Insider, I want to get you back to quarterbacks for a second here, Ian. And, you know, right now reports out there maybe Baker Mayfield is Cleveland's guy at number one. What do you think has happened over the last several weeks where, you know, Josh Rosen was the figured to be the number one, and then it was, you know, now it's Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. Some people had him at number one a little bit earlier on. Why have we had this kind of cycling through of these various quarterbacks? Sam Darnold was supposed to be number one. What's going on, do you think, to make these guys cycle through as the potential number ones?
I think we're bored as a
media. Yeah, good answer. I agree with you.
I mean, you know, if you go through the reports, you can literally put the Browns on every number one pick possible. They've had Barkley, they've had Rosen, they've had now Mayfield, Josh Allen maybe, sure, possible. I think it's okay to say we don't know. I mean, I've had people say today, oh, you know, I feel good that it's Mayfield. I'm like, well, do you really?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, there's only a couple people who know, and I know John Dorsey is not told, even people very close to him. So no one really knows. Yes, Mayfield is someone you shouldn't rule out at one. Does that mean he's the pick? No. I wouldn't, you know, if the headline was don't rule out Sam Darnold number one, I would say, yeah, that's probably true also. The reality is no one knows. And I think they're going to have a little bit of fun, you know, getting us to guess until they make the announcement.
You know, I think one of the reasons, Ian, you're talking to Ian Rappaport, NFL Insider, is the intrigue is the fact that the Browns have the four pick. They don't want to let people know that usually who cares if everybody knows what the first pick is going to be because they can't affect it. The difference is now with the Browns at the four pick as well, I mean, now you're getting people talking about maybe the Browns pick two quarterbacks because there's probably with Saquon Barkley on the board and the Giants sitting there, maybe they've talked about taking him. Now the Browns could get two of the top three quarterbacks in this draft and make sure that they get a guy that they like. But is that crazy talk?
It's crazy, but it's not that crazy. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but I'm sure it's something that – the Browns have gone over. I mean, I would imagine they went over all scenarios, you know? And, I mean, look, we can talk all about value, and, you know, you can say two quarterbacks is a waste. Literally nothing matters if you don't get your guy. Nothing matters. Nothing is important if you don't have your quarterback. And so they could pick a quarterback every pick, and if they get the guy to take him into the next 10 years, I'll say they've done okay. It would be crazy, but I would say they've done okay because – look, the Eagles gave up a lot for Carson Wentz. Do you think they care now?
Nope. That's right. Nobody cares.
Or do you think they're just happy with their quarterback? I think they're just happy with their quarterback.
That's right. And I think that's one of my points. That's one of the reasons why we haven't heard from the Cleveland Browns about who they're going to take at number one, because that number four pick is still valuable. Who they take at number one is going to affect who's available at the number four. And I think that's one of the reasons why perhaps this time, for the first time in a long time, we don't know who's going to go first pick of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is to have a team with 1-4 certainly does add to the dynamic. And I mean, there's as much intrigue now as I can remember for years, just as far as like who could actually go, who's going to be there at 4 or, you know, 12 or 11 or whatever. A lot of different scenarios. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. We're going to be watching. Ian, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here on the line today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Ian Rappaport joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Ian is a NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. NFL Network with live coverage of the draft from Dallas Thursday through Saturday. We've got a little pre-coverage of the draft coming up. Let me tell you what's coming up here on our show and on some of your television sets as well over the next few days. Coming up Thursday, round one of the draft, we'll be on the air with One Bills Live, same deal, noon to 3 p.m. And then Thursday night, radio only, Steve and I will hit the air at 8 p.m. Sal Capaccio will be on the air on our flagship in Buffalo at 7 p.m., WGR Sports Radio 550. We're on the air at 8 p.m. until the Bills are finished in the first round, whether it's early or late. Last year it was late. Maybe it'll be a little bit earlier. We'll find out. But we'll be on the radio for you here with draft coverage coming up live on the radio side, radio only, on Thursday night. Now, you should know that on the television side, we have a special coming up tomorrow night, Wednesday night, that Steve's worked on, I've worked on. It's the NFL Draft Special, our Bills Draft Special, presented by New Era Cap, coming up tomorrow night. It airs on WKBW-TV Channel 7 in Buffalo at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and then it airs on MSG at 8 p.m., so you get a couple of cracks at it, and if you're out of town, you can watch it. Steve is doing a segment. Have you done it yet, Brandon Bean?
No, we're doing it tomorrow night, right before they air it. We're going to tape it live and then re-air it just a few minutes later, because you can't wait a day in this climate.
You're not going to do it at 7.
Right, right. We're going to do it just a little earlier than that, and they're going to air it as if it was live, and it was Bean's going to be on, and hours before the draft. So I can't wait for this thing to be over.
I'm the draft special coming up Wednesday night. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Channel 7. Yep. 8 o'clock on MSG. I've got a piece that I've done with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network and Chris Brown. I haven't seen it yet. I heard him talking about it today. I want to see it. Hopefully before it goes on the air. Chris Brown has done a piece with some Bills top officials in the personnel department, and you get a little bit of a look. We were talking with Brandon about it yesterday on the draft room, and Chris takes you inside there, Joe Shane and that group explain how they use that draft room. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. You won't get that look anywhere else. It's coming up on our draft special tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on Channel 7, 8 o'clock on MSG. So lots of draft coverage over the next few days.
Yeah, that's that draft room, I've got to get up there and look at it. I've heard
next week, you're welcome,
nothing but fantastic stuff about it. And you face this it, week. How difficult it is to set that thing up the way you need it.
Yeah.
To be able to reach out to all the teams, to have everybody who's got a voice sitting there with you, plus all the people that each one of those voices trusts sitting right behind them, and having all the information of the draft, the clock, who's on the clock, who's left on your board, all of that stuff at your fingertips, all done virtually electronically nowadays. It's impressive.
I noticed today, can I talk about this? Brandon was on the show with us yesterday. You asked him who's in the draft room. He mentioned, you know, Pegulas will be there. Obviously, his group, Sean McDermott, will be there. Maybe some coaches in and out. And Russ Brandon, the team president, will be there.
Yeah.
There was a story about that in the paper today, like that was almost intimating that was wrong, that Russ would be in there. He's the team president. Yeah. He should be
in
there.
He's
not going to pull names off the board.
Right.
He hasn't.
I've known Russ for 20 years, over 20 years. He will be the least vocal person of that group. He is strictly, he's there to be, so he's on top of it, so when he gets asked, he can keep track of it. He is not a guy who is going to stand on the table and pound his fist saying, you got to take this guy or that guy.
He will be the least vocal and among the most interested, I think, too. Because Russ is, you know, people talk about him a lot and keep him away, whatever. He cares about wins and losses. He cares as much as anybody in this building about losses.
He always has.
Yes.
He always has.
Yes. He's the team president. Of course he should be in there. Look at team cameras from all over the NFL on Thursday night. I would almost guarantee you that every team president from every NFL team will be in their draft room.
I'll tell you this. This is how – and for his critics out there, I hope they can hear this and understand what I mean when I say this. It is rare – that you get a guy as wise as Russ in a position, because Russ earned his way to the spot where at one point he was the general manager of the team. And how much does he care do you think, when he did it for 1 year and then went to Ralph and said, Ralph, I'm not good at this. You got to get somebody in here who's – I'm going back to selling sweets. I know I got this job, but I'm stepping away from this. You need somebody who's got more experience, who's done this from the bottom up. Because Russ is a marketing guy.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of great things for the organization and made it more financially stable, made it better for them to stay in this region for as long as they did with Ralph as the owner. And that's how much Russ cares, is the fact that he goes, man, I don't want to mess this team up. And he didn't feel like he was the guy that could do it as well as other guys. He stepped away. And that, to me, tells you how much he cared.
Yeah. Anyway, he'll be in there. You can get an inside look at the Bills draft room tomorrow on our special. It airs at 7 o'clock on Channel 7, the Buffalo Bills draft special. All right, our Twitter poll today. It's a two-part question. I think you can handle that. We're 2 days away from the draft. One, has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed in recent weeks and recent months, maybe in a couple of hours? Yes? No? And how? How has it changed? Two, simple. This is the simple question. Which quarterback do you want the Buffalo Bills to get? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or do it on Twitter. Vote on our Twitter poll or just respond via Twitter. We'll read some of those tweets in a minute. I don't think you and I have answered the question, quarterback do you want the Bills to get? I'm ready to answer when you are.
I'm almost ready.
What are you waiting for?
People are texting and tweeting us. We're getting a lot of response from this question. But they're putting a caveat on it, like we let them drop to 12. We'll take whoever's left at number 12. I don't want to know who's left. I want to know who you would pick if you had the first pick of the draft. Who is the quarterback you would pick? Pick one. I don't say you have to settle for the guy that falls to 12 or it's too expensive to go up and get the best guy. Who is the best guy? I want to know who a Buffalo Bills fan, you as a Buffalo Bills fan, would pick if you had the first pick of the draft. That's the question. It's not who you think they're going to get or who you think that's going to fall to number 12 or who you think they'll be able to get at number 2. I want to know who you want.
I want to know who you want. What's your answer to that question? I'll go first. I want Sam Darnold. He'd be my number one choice. The complete package, competitive, young, right? 20, almost 21 years old.
He's still 20.
Yeah. Can play for a long, long time. He's been successful in college. Turned it over too much. No question about that. I think that can be fixed. Sam Darnold would be my choice if I had a choice of the whole field. Steve's still thinking. That's all right. It's good to think.
I got to tell you.
Keep thinking.
I like there's three guys I like. I really would be happy with any one of them because I know they all have their flaws and stuff. I would be happy with Mayfield, Darnold, or Rosen.
Okay.
Mayfield, Darnold, or Rosen. I would not take Allen just because I'm scared off by – and maybe it's because of my scar tissue, my mental scar tissue from being a player who didn't look the part. I'm wary of guys who
look the part
and don't have anything else to offer.
Well, he's got stuff to offer.
He probably does. He may be Peyton Manning. He may be Drew Brees. He may all be all Aaron Rodgers. He may be all those
guys.
Maybe
Ryan Leaf too.
He may be Ben Roethlisberger. He might be.
Yeah.
But I like those other three guys because I think that position is more about what's between your ears and what the person you are, not so much the body that person lives in. Because I've witnessed it and experienced it and lived through it with different guys.
Sure.
I think the personality and what the guy's got between his ears and the heart that beats in his chest is more important than the physical body that all that stuff walks around in. Josh Allen has all the physical attributes and more. He is as good physically as any quarterback in the NFL you can name. But really, you can put Cam Newton in there. He's got all that. It's the rest of it I don't know about.
Okay.
It's the rest of it I don't know about.
How about you? Give us a call.
And I could be completely wrong about him.
Sure, you could.
Because
I could be too.
They're just saying the only knock on Josh Allen is his completion percentage that I know of. Am I right?
He's not perfect.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
Because even when at the combine, it was like he put it on the wrong shoulder. He couldn't, it just wasn't spot on. And the windows are smaller.
Here's a call from Tom on Grand Island. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah. If I had a quarterback of my choice, it would be Josh Rosen. And I'm gonna give a couple reasons why.
Good.
First of all, you look at his offensive line was terrible. I've watched a lot of game tape, And, you know, he really had nothing to work with. No defense. 43 drop passes by his receivers, which, by the way, if you count those passes, he has a 71% completion percentage. We could very well be talking about him going number one. But my number one concern with him, ultimately, is, you know, I'm saying all these nice things, but I think that his durability is my huge concern with him. But other than that, I think his attitude, you know, the attitude issues and all that stuff, I don't think it's really all crap. I think he'll be fine if he's given the right situation. And, you know, he could very well be one of the best in this class. But who knows? Everybody has their flaws. But
sure.
I think that he's your best bet, honestly.
Well, you defended your bet pretty eloquently, because I agree with you about everything you said. His team wasn't the best around him. They didn't have a high level of talent, the offensive line around him. But this is the guy that stood in there, and he got nicked up because of it. He took some shots, and he took some shots to his body and to his reputation as being durable enough to play because of those guys. And plus, you're talking about if there's 43 drop passes in his resume last year, that turns him into an elite prospect pretty quickly.
Here's a call from Larry in Cheektowaga. Go ahead, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Hi, Steve. Hey, Steve, congratulations. It was great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm going to jump on the Josh Rosen wagon here. I really think, he's smart. I'm hoping he can transform that over to football smart. I mean, over the years, you know, just looking at quarterbacks, I believe accuracy, escapability out of the pocket, just like Brady, he steps up, steps sideways. I like that better than I know you have to get out of the pocket once in a while, but I think he's got all these attributes. And being smart, I remember I'm old, I'm 64. I remember Jack Kemp, he was a smart guy too.
Yeah.
And, he had an average arm, and he took it to two AFL championships. So I know it's a different era and everything, but I'm going with Rosen. Here's my question. If he's gone, what do you guys think about Mason Rudolph? I got some books that had him rated fourth at one time, way back in April or March. And everything I read about that Mason Rudolph is, I mean, he's got a lot of pluses. I mean, you know, good arm. He doesn't escape the pocket too well, but he does get out of the way. And I would think about him if Rosen wasn't there. And also this, Steve, your son, Luke, he's in Canada. My question is, could he someday make it? Do you have aspirations to go to the NFL if everything played out right? Would somebody give him a chance? Is he looking for that chance?
Well, he just signed a two-year deal, so he's not looking for it for a while. And I think he's very happy where he's at. Now, he did work out for an NFL team this last offseason, worked out for the Jets, actually, and decided to go ahead and sign with Hamilton again. So he's happy there. But So I appreciate that, and thanks for the attention to him. But he's doing great. Mason Rudolph is a guy who's intriguing to me because I tell you, he is an accurate passer. He's got a good completion percentage. The only knock I've heard on Mason Rudolph is his athleticism, and also his arm is not as strong as the elite guys you're talking about, Darnold, Rosen, and Josh Allen, and even Baker Mayfield. So Rudolph's arm is not it's not a top-flight NFL arm, but certainly he's got enough on it that he can throw the football in the NFL. He can make all the throws. He just doesn't have that, wow, did you see that velocity on that ball kind of arm.
Plus, I think he's played in that spread package there, limited exposure to anything else. I think he would need a lot of coaching up to get ready to play in the NFL. But we'll see. Certainly second round, maybe late first round, somebody's going to go after Mason Rudolph, and they might get the right guy.
If he's around at 22, the Bills will probably think about it. If everything stays as is, if the Bills don't trade, I'll bet you he's on the table. If he's still there, if the other guys are still there, if Lamar Jackson's gone, or if anybody, maybe he'll be taken before Lamar Jackson. But I don't have any doubt that Mason Rudolph is going to get a chance to play in the NFL. Whether it's as a Buffalo Bill remains to be seen.
All right, let's take a look at our tweet sheet. Some of the people who responded via Twitter to our Twitter poll today and our question of the day, two-part question, has your perception of these premium quarterbacks changed in recent weeks, recent months? And simply put, which quarterback do you want for the Buffalo Bills? Seamus Clancy tweets in, I've come around 100% to Mayfield. Thought his attitude ruled him out and then realized it's just fire and passion for the game. Think he'll channel his behavior in any way that'll equal wins. I think he's the truest leader. His story is incredible, and guys will follow him all in. Wow. That's a strong endorsement from Seamus Clancy. I get that. There's a lot to like about Mayfield's story, backstory, including walking on right at Texas Tech, walking on at Oklahoma, being short, being underappreciated, I guess. Those are good things.
I wish I was 6'5" short.
Those are good things.
That's
but
right,
there's also some things that are not so good about his demeanor, right? I'm grabbing crotches, planting flags, relationships with teammates maybe. We'll see. I think there's a lot to like about Baker Mayfield. And Seamus Clancy kind of named them all right
there. Yeah, I've got another tweet here as well from a guy, New Age Democrat. Any answer other than Darnold is wrong. I can't believe people are falling for smokescreens. Darnold has been the best prospect for 7 months now. Well, once you guys, he's like we said at the beginning of the show, once you get a guy that you're your favorite, you defend him to the last man. And this guy, everybody else is wrong. Darnold is the guy for this. And I listen, there's a lot of people who share that sentiment.
Yeah. I just, the approach like, I'm right, you're wrong. Don't we have enough of that going on in our
not
our
yet.
Culture?
Wait till I get going. Then you have enough of it.
I'm right, you're wrong. Guy.
I win, you lose.
Paul Wineski tweets in on our tweet sheet. I know everybody thinks Brandon Bean will be able to make moves because of what he did last season, but let's not forget this is also his first ever draft at the helm. This will be interesting to say the least. You're right. I wonder, Brandon here with us yesterday, and if you missed that, you can catch up on our website. If he's nervous about his first ever draft, you'd never know it. I think he's focused. It seems like he is prepared.
They're totally
five
prepared.
Five mock drafts yesterday morning.
Totally prepared.
Is that
awesome.
Normal? Have you heard anybody doing
I don't know.
Five mock drafts 3 days before the draft?
Never heard that.
He's prepared. He's focused. Is he nervous? Probably, but I couldn't get him to admit it yesterday. It is his first draft. He's been around him, right, for a while.
Right.
We'll find out. You're right. You're absolutely right, Paul. It's going to be really interesting to see how he handles this.
This draft, and it's a different world that he's in now, his first year as GM, because we might get into this in a little bit later in What If, but the rookie's wage scale has changed things in these drafts. It used to be that the first pick of the draft would get a $13 million signing bonus. He'd be a $15 million cap hit on a cap that was like $50 million less than it is now. I mean, it was a huge chunk of money you gave to a first pick of the draft. And teams had really gotten to the point where they were shying away from drafting guys in the top five of the draft because there would be guys in there that had some questions, just like these quarterbacks have questions about their abilities. They didn't want to dump all this money into a player that was going to turn into a bust that they couldn't be really sure of. So now, in 2011, when they did this new thing, it's the rookie wage scale that it limits a hard cap on what rookies can make. Now, you've got an opportunity to get a player of the caliber, of the potential of these young guys that are coming in the league, and you'll get them for 3 or 4 years at a reduced rate. That is, and virtually it is below market value, which allows you to build a team. So you've got players playing at a bargain rate, so you can sign other players, all on, like the Seattle Seahawks did when Russell Wilson came out. He was their starting quarterback as a third-round pick, and he was making nothing, comparatively speaking. So the Seahawks built an entire defense on the other side of the ball and gave him some great weapons offensively, and they win a world championship and get to another one and then throw the interception on the goal line to keep from winning two in a row. So that's what teams are thinking about now. This draft and the culture now in the NFL is about these draft picks are really valuable because they're cheap and you can get a great player right away. So that's why
play with them for 5 years at a good price.
And that's why Brandon Bean is walking into this as a first-year GM. And, man, there's a lot of moving parts all over the league.
It's going to be
fun. It's amazing.
It's going to be really
fun. It's so fun. It is so fun.
From the tweet sheet, we asked the question, has your perception of the quarterbacks changed as we approach round one just 2 days away? And Nick Blake says, yes, Josh Rosen all day long. The only quarterback I've changed my mind on is Josh Allen. He should be drafted in the second round, not the first. I hope Buffalo doesn't draft him. I'd rather have Rudolph. I don't know what he means, Josh Rosen all day long. Oh, I think he means Josh Rosen is his guy that the Bills should draft. Okay, I'm trying
All
day long. He's changed his mind on Josh Allen, thinks he's a second rounder. Don't expect that to happen. And he says he'd rather have Mason Rudolph than Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, that's – there you go. I mean, and I get why – Josh Allen has all that strong – but his accuracy is a big question.
Sure.
His accuracy is a big question. That points to a 56% completion percentage and all of that. And that's the one thing in the NFL. If you're an inaccurate passer, you're always going to be a frustrating guy to watch. You're going to be a frustrating guy to coach, because even though if you finally pick the right guy to throw, if you decipher the defense, you get a pre-snap read, you drop back and you get the disguise, you figure out the defense, you turn your eyes from one direction, you get back to the backside of the play, and you try and drill this in, you got a big arm, you throw it in there, and it's 3 feet off the mark. I mean, that's pretty frustrating.
In the NFL, if you're 3 inches off the mark, that can be a problem.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, that's a crusher. Because to get a guy who can go through all those mental gymnastics, and you coach him up, and you call the right play at the right moment against the right coverage, and then the guy throws it in the dirt on a 10-yard out. I mean, that's a crusher. That's why accuracy, and why a lot of, you know, football guys talk about it. Fans just don't get that sometimes, and that's why Josh Allen had this big red flags, because you don't complete a lot of passes when you don't put it right where it's supposed to be.
And one more from the tweet sheet, the exact opposite viewpoint from Mallory Livingston. He says, Allen has it all. Size, speed, competitiveness, durability. Allen is young. His college team was awful under constant pressure. His accuracy will improve with a sound line, experience, and decent coaches. I'm not going to argue with that. Look, he's going to be a first rounder. I know people saying he's not, but he's going to be a first rounder. I would bet a lot of money on that. He might be a really good player in the NFL. He might not, but he might be a really good player. And I think his chances of being a good quarterback in the NFL are pretty much up there with Darnold and Rosen and Mayfield. I think he's right. He belongs in that conversation.
Listen.
57% completion. Okay. I mean, it's like people have it tattooed on their arms now. Right? It's Oh, 57. Okay.
I get it, because you and I talk about this all the time, and maybe some of the listeners out there are swayed by the way you and I feel about it and the information we bring to the table and the conversations we have. But you and I, listen, the only people who affect you and I really are the guys, even at One Bills Drive, the guys at Patriot Place, the guys at George Halas Drive, the guys down in Jack, all the guys who you really want to find out what they think about it are the guys who are in the rooms who have to make the call. They're the ones whose jobs depend on the guy being exactly who they believe he's going to be.
Many of those guys think Josh Allen is potentially special. They all don't.
Well, potentially.
Yeah.
They're all potentially special.
Not really.
Come on.
What do you mean all? Every quarterback in the draft?
All four of the guys we're talking about. Yes. Six of the guys we're talking about.
Yes, they're all potentially special.
So those professionals
get paid to scout quarterbacks, many of them think Josh Allen is the best or among the best. And some of them don't. I'm just saying, people. There is a groundswell of opinion like, oh, Josh Allen is awful. He's not awful. I wouldn't pick him first if I had anybody to choose from. He's not awful. He's going to go in the first round. He's probably going to go in the top 10 picks.
So we got, and one of my colleagues, Phil Sims, at CBS, we're just getting tipped off. Phil said something about Josh Allen. He said one of the reasons his completion percentage is low isn't because of his accuracy. It's because his offense wasn't designed. They never threw screen passes. So, quarterbacks never had any easy completions.
It's a different offense.
And I'll tell you this, too. Granted, now, when you watch these things and they're trying to make a point, they always pull video that supports their point. They don't pull video where the guy makes a bad throw. And I saw a Josh Allen video where a guy was making a point where it wasn't him. He was playing with a bad team. A la he threw about four or five passes in one game and they all got dropped. They were all right on the money. Some of them were in tight windows, too. And they were dropped. So maybe Josh Allen is a more accurate thrower than we give him credit for. But I think, don't they check that at the combine? Don't they look at that? And he didn't measure up the way these other guys measured up.
In that area. Maybe
in that area. Yeah. Which is what, yeah. That's
bigger arm, stronger arm. They all got no stuff. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. And we got Bruce Smith coming up at 2 o'clock talking about draft picks. He was, of course, if you know, number one overall in 1985. Bruce Smith to join us, plus a lot more. We're going to talk when we come back a little bit about what if there was no rookie wage scale? We'd have a totally different conversation about quarterbacks right now if there wasn't. Steve and I back in a moment. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. One Bills Live, the name of our new show from One Bills Drive. See, that's how we do it. We're at One Bills Drive, and it's cloudy out there. Steve, I just took a look outside. Not quite like yesterday, although it's comfortably, not saying warm, but it's comfortable.
Yeah, yesterday,
spring. It feels like spring now.
Yesterday was a slice of heaven.
Yesterday was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great.
Hey, we like to do this every day. I think we're going to do it every day or most days. I have a little question of what if. Steve and I are sort of fantasizing about what if. You know, we actually need some what if music, like fantasy music, you know. We need to rub our chins and stare at this guy. What if? How about what if? This is mostly football stuff. What if, this is an important question 2 days before the draft, with all these quarterbacks in play, with the Bills looking at drafting a quarterback. What if the NFL rookie wage scale didn't exist? You touched on it a moment ago. It all changed in the new CBA in 2011. Mm-hmm. It went from quarterbacks getting crazy money in the first round to a little bit more sanity. Now, the agents will tell you, got to get rid of the – have you heard this? The agents don't like the rookie wage scale. Of course they don't.
Nobody
it cuts cares. Into their money. But you used to have quarterbacks go in the first round. Cam Newton got a fully guaranteed
– four-year deal.
Yeah, $22 million. I mean, without playing it down. That rubbed people the wrong way because there were many who didn't come close to earning that money. So they decided to change it. Now, I know that when the CBA was negotiated in that summer, that long summer that resulted in – little bit of a work stoppage. The thinking was, we'll take some of the money away from rookies and give it to the middle class. That didn't happen. They gave the money to quarterbacks and wide receivers.
They gave them to left tackles too. Yeah. And they spread that money around.
But
if you get it,
the rookie wage scale in place was huge.
Yeah.
Because it for a number of reasons. Number one, now you have these quarterbacks that everybody wants a piece of. The Eagles demonstrated yesterday how you make it work. Draft a quarterback, have him on the wage scale, have him for the fifth year, you know, to extend his contract for the fifth year, and build your team around him. The other thing it's done, and it's also coming into play this week, it's made it exciting. Teams can trade these picks. Back, you know, before the rookie wage scale, people would be afraid, well, what am I going to do with that pick? I'm just going to overpay him, and he might not be any good. Now it's like, yeah, let's trade. Let's trade these draft picks, and maybe if the guy turns out good, we got a good player, we're not paying him a ton of money.
Well, not you trade him. You trade that draft pick for more draft picks.
Yep.
And virtually
because you can afford
them. Yeah, because a team like the Giants, they say, listen, the Colts, we don't need a top-notch quarterback. We've got Andrew Luck. We'll trade out of the third spot, go to the sixth spot like they've done this year, and they get a couple extra draft picks, like three extra draft picks, that they can build their team around a guy they've already drafted and got a hold of. So it's really opened up the ability of teams to wheel and deal and get value for these picks rather than just throwing money down a black hole that turns into a guy who can't play.
Joel Corey wrote this article that got us thinking about this. What if the NFL rookie wage scale didn't exist? He makes a really good point. He's a former agent, Joel Corey. We've had him on the show. Really good point about, like, the Giants. You know how you're convinced the Giants are going to draft a quarterback?
Right.
If there were not a rookie wage scale, they wouldn't be able to because they're paying Eli Manning's salary. They wouldn't even,
That's right.
They wouldn't even think about drafting a quarterback, even if they need one desperately, which they may or may not. They wouldn't even be able to think about it. Or they'd have to cut and absorb Eli Manning's contract before
they
thought about it. Right,
because then they'd have two quarterbacks, and the reason they couldn't do that is because Eli Manning's making, you know, what, 100 and whatever million dollars, and they'd have a rookie making the exact same amount who one of those two guys is going to sit on the bench, you know, so they couldn't do it, and that's why it has changed everything, because now the draft pick and the player can be valuable even if he doesn't play to a high level. And because you can develop him, you can take a minute to develop him. You got him for 4 years. You don't have to redo his deal until the fourth year if he's a top 10 pick. I mean, it's just so much more sanity to the money that these guys are playing. It gives them a chance, you know, to get their feet wet, and they don't, you know, they get this big money. Look at Jamarcus Russell. He was such a flop. They had to wash their hands of him so quick. And yet, if he would have been making a few hundred grand instead of a few hundred million, well, he didn't make that much, but he made $33 million, they would have, in a different scenario, he could have said, okay, wait, just calm down. You don't have to start. Just sit back there, learn your way, take it slower, and maybe he would have been a little bit more successful. I don't know that he would have been, but that would have been a better scenario for him if he had been able to take his time and not been pushed in there when he wasn't ready. And then he turns into a flop and everything's different for that franchise for a number of years. And that's so there's no question that the rookie wage scale has made an enormous difference, and we're seeing the benefits or the ramifications of it in this draft.
Sam Bradford is the poster boy.
Yeah.
$50 million deal coming out as a rookie. $50 million from the Rams coming out in the year before the new CBA. All right, I want to do one more what if, because, and we'll save some of these for another day, but I know you have a hot take on this, Steve. What if the NFL used a standardized prospect grading system? Let me talk about that for a minute. There's a writer who writes for the Cincinnati SB Nation website. Cincinnati, big baseball town, said, you know, it's hard to compare draft picks. It's hard to compare prospects across different positions. And the writer, I got to give his name, Scott Schultz, says, hey, what if football implemented something like Major League Baseball, the common prospect grading system? Major League Baseball prospects are graded on 5 tools. 50 is a median. You know, you give them a grade. You compare third baseman to second baseman and left fielders to first baseman. You give them a grade. What if the NFL did that? Would that make it? Would it work in football? Steve Tasker says
it's idiotic.
That's a hot take.
It's idiotic. You got in baseball, everybody does the same thing, except pitchers and catchers. Everybody does the same thing. You stand in the field, the ball's hit to you, you pick it up, you throw it to first, or you make the throw. In football, you got not 9 guys on the field, you got 22 guys on the field. They all do completely different things. And you can't grade a wide receiver and his tool set in the same way that you grade a right guard and his tool set, or a linebacker and his tool set, or a corner. That I don't know where this guy's coming from.
Coming from Cincinnati, where everything's about baseball.
No, he's not coming from. He's from Pluto. Because that's crazy. It's so – listen, you got a lot of smart guys working really hard. And not only that, it's not just like this is old school football where these guys go out there with a stopwatch and, you know, and a pinch of tobacco in their lip and tell you run a 40 and listen, yeah, it's a good job, son. That's great. No, you got computer readouts. You got electronic timing. You got agility drills that you time and you go through. And plus the analytics that they – hoops that these guys jump through on a tactical basis, yeah, it's not going to work. You don't – plus all the intangibles we talk about with these quarterbacks we've been talking about, how are you going to standardize the character of a player when you've got guys as wide-ranging as guys like Lawrence Phillips back in the day and a guy like Peyton Manning in the day? You can't not consider those kind of intangibles, and you can't quantify them. So, listen, the league spends millions of dollars doing this exactly the way they need to do it, and by standardizing it, you're making it almost impossible to do it well.
Okay. I agree. I can't. I'd love.
Did
to
I overstate my? Did I overstate my?
Well, you went too long, but I don't know if you overstated it.
Talk to my wife.
Yes, you overstated it.
I speak too long there too. Yeah.
We got more coming up. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker back with more in a moment on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy. We're talking here about a bunch of stuff going on. By the way, did you came in early, Murph? Did you get a chance to listen at all to the Instigators?
Yeah, I always listen to the Gators. Yeah,
did you hear?
Glued to my radio.
Yeah, listen, 25 years ago, Buffalo, one of those great Buffalo moments, you know, you talk about all this, you know, and I was part of some of them with the team that I was on, but also because I'm, you know, I'm a big Sabres fan. 25 years ago was the today was May Day when the Sabres put the Bruins out of the playoffs,
yeah.
and the final goal of that overtime game, Brad May puts it in. We have actually I want to hear it because you had something that it makes me think of something you've done also in response to that because you're a Buffalo guy. So, and this May Day thing, and, you know, all the big sports moments in Buffalo are kind of part of all of us, right?
Yeah.
Comeback game, May Day, Now Do You Believe, all the stuff, all the old Van Miller calls, all the great moments that we've been in. You're part of that now because you're the voice of the Bills, and you kind of paid homage to Rick because you knew it's a Buffalo thing. And when Tre'Davious White got drafted, you had the trade day call, just
yes.
like Rick had the May Day call. I think that is awesome because
to LaFontaine, he gets tripped up, gets it to May, and over the line, here's May going in on goal, he shoots, he scores!
couple of things. First of all, I miss the odd. Did you ever get spend much time in the odd?
Yeah, I did.
The odd was fantastic.
I got to tell you, I almost tear up when I listen to that. I really do. It kind of gets me because I'm, it's a Buffalo thing.
That was ultimate Buffalo. Rick is so great. The goal was fantastic, too. A 6-5 overtime win. Brad makes Scoots in there.
So then 24 years later, the Bills draft this kid, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
And he has a sensational rookie season this last year. And unbeknownst to some people who aren't from Buffalo, you make the call.
Well, look, we talked to Tre'Davious about it. Your predecessor, Donald Jones, and I, and Tre'Davious is in here. And we landed on Trey Day, it was kind of a nickname for him. Then he goes out and makes a big play, and it sort of just naturally came. I'm not stealing Rick Jenner. I'm paying homage to Rick Jenneret with his great Mayday call. Twice last year. And you don't plan this stuff out. You try to keep it kind of organic.
Yeah, you got to keep it.
And
Trey
Day, I thought, made sense. And
that was awesome.
It's an homage to Rick Jenneret. Football, though, first down at the Buffalo 24. Sharice Wright in for the injured E.J. Gaines. Trevor Siemian lines him up shotgun. Fakes the handoff to Charles, pressured, fires it, intercepted, picked off by Tre'Davious White at the Buffalo 30, weaving through traffic. They finally bring him down at the 38-yard line. Tre'Day, Tre'Davious White with a huge interception.
Wow, that's awesome, because, only Buffalo people would get that.
Exactly, yes, and appreciate it.
That's
and
right.
Tre'Davious White is a tremendous player. He had a tremendous year right then in the middle of his really hot part of his rookie year with that play, and then goes to Atlanta. I think the following week comes up with that incredible play there. It's an homage to Rick Jenneret, the great play-by-play broadcaster. But more than that, aside from the broadcast, just 20 that goal. I remember I had a 2-year-old at home, and I think I was home watching the game with my 2-year-old who was probably sitting on my lap. Right. And I basically threw him out of my lap as soon as Brad May scored. They swept the Bruins. They did it in overtime. Brad May scores. I mean, it was the goal that really resonates 25 years later to me.
Because
circumstances of the goal.
Listen, that the old odd was a special place. And for some of it, because for all the right reasons, some of it for all the wrong reasons, because it was just – it was a Buffalo spot.
Nothing wrong with the odd. What do you mean wrong reasons?
Listen,
there's nothing wrong with the odd.
You go back and look at it now, and you think to see the goal again. And you're like me. I've been living here for 30 years, and that 1992 when they swept the Bruins, we were right in the thick of it in our stuff with the Bills. We were going to the Super Bowl every year, and so there's a big crossover with how much we had Ken Hall, Will Wolford, and all our old players had seats at the odd, and you could go to one of their games, use their tickets once in a while. It was an awesome joint. It was an awesome joint. That place, you were sitting right on top of it.
I love the smell of the odd. I did. It smelled like hot dogs and stale beer.
And you walk into the concourse. All these arenas now have these bright.
Yeah.
Marble concourses where everybody can see, and you can see lots of space, and it's all decorated, and it's all vibrant colors. The odd was like a parking garage in the odd. In the old the ramps and stuff, they were those big winding ramps. You walk down a ramp, turn, and walk down another one, looked just like it.
Yeah.
And it was, you could drive a car on it. It was a big wide thing. So everything was different back then. And the stands, you remember it was the yellows, the golds, it was the orange or whatever, the old different
reds.
The reds.
Blues.
And people knew what you were talking about.
I remember the grays.
People knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
They knew. Yeah, I get you. You didn't have to say your section number or anything like that. You just told them what color seat you lived.
I'm up in the grays in the corner.
Yeah.
That's where I spent most of my time.
And that's, and 25 years ago today, Brad May hit that overtime
amazing goal.
And
one of the great moments in Buffalo sports history.
Absolutely. And it was great. And so for your call of now Tre'Davious, it brings people back. People are going, what's the – and, the older generation lets you in on it.
Yeah.
Try to.
Hey, it was a great moment when the Bills had the first overall pick in the draft and they selected Bruce Smith in 1985. We're going to talk about that with Bruce Smith. He's coming up next. It is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Here at One Bills Drive, another day of off-season conditioning. Players on the field for conditioning work and a little bit classroom work as well. Phase one of the program, it includes strength and conditioning and classroom time with the coaching staff. Next week, phase two of the off-season program, It allows for on-field workouts and team practices by individual position groups. No live contact. They don't go against each other, but they work out pretty hard on an individual basis starting next week. Meantime, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, appearing this morning on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, cautioned that the Bills are not likely to trade up to number two in the draft on Thursday. According to Rappaport, the Bills are more likely to pull the trigger if a quarterback they like slips to number five or number six. And Rappaport says speculation surrounding Buffalo's intentions probably applies to the Dolphins, currently at number 11, just ahead of the Bills, and the Arizona Cardinals at number 15. More draft speculation today. This from ESPN. Baker Mayfield definitely has been a part of the Browns' consideration for the number one overall pick, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The former Oklahoma quarterback reportedly cannot be ruled out as a possibility for the top overall selection on Thursday night. Browns GM John Dorsey did not provide many hints on his team's draft strategy when he met with reporters last Thursday. Devin Hester retired yesterday officially with the Chicago Bears. A longtime return specialist says he's worried that the league might soon eliminate the kickoff return, which was Hester's specialty. Kickoff and punt return, one of the key aspects of the quality of football, Devin Hester said. He signed a one-day contract along with Matt Forte yesterday with their original team, the Chicago Bears, so they could retire as Bears at an emotional ceremony yesterday. And five NFL teams, we talked about the Bills' offseason conditioning, five NFL teams opened voluntary mini camp today. The Detroit Lions, Indianapolis Colts, Giants, Raiders, and Titans all able to do that because they have brand new head coaches. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, 2 days away from round one of the NFL draft. And when we get there, some of us, Bills fans of a certain age, will remember the NFL draft, the first round, from 1985, when the Bills had the first overall pick, and they selected our next guest. He had a pretty good career, 11 Pro Bowl nods, Defensive Player of the Year twice, two different all-decade teams issued by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and, of course, a spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Really excited and glad to have Bruce Smith on the line with us here in Buffalo. Bruce, John Murphy, and your old teammate Steve Tasker, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Sevy, what's going on? Hi, Murph.
How you doing, Bruce?
Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing good, big man. Thanks for coming on with us. I was going to ask, I was talking to Murph back in the day. Nowadays, they bring everybody and their uncle to New York for the draft, and there's a green room, and it's a big thing. Back in 85, you got brought to New York, right, by Pete Rozelle. But you were kind of the first guy they did that with. Is that not right?
Yeah, I believe so. I can't remember the exact history, but if you recall, or if folks would know the history, mine was pretty much ceremonial. They had already made the decision to draft me as the number one pick 2 months ahead of time. So all I had to do is show up and go and shake Pete Rozelle's hand and pretty much move on. But what an exciting time in my life and an historic moment for me and my family.
Who were you dealing with the Bills back then, Bruce? Was it mostly Bill Polian, or was it Marv or somebody else?
It was – well, Marv wasn't
here, that's right.
Hadn't gotten there until my second year.
Yeah.
We had Kay Stevenson. Obviously, Bill Polian played an intricate role in bringing me to the Buffalo Bills. I think even after Kay Stevenson, it was
Hank Buller.
It was Hank Buller. And Hank Bulla was around for a short period of time, and then that's when Marv came in midway through my second year with the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League.
So you get drafted, you're number one overall, you have this illustrious career. And Merv, the thing that gets me, of all the things, 11 Pro Bowls, a two-time defensive MVP, you put the sack number for career sacks out of reach. But the thing that gets me is you were on two different all-decade teams. That's, man, you talk about long in the tooth. You look like a warthog. That's unbelievable.
There are a number of factors that went into that two-decade team and the success that was the set.
the success that was had, and number one, I think, was Marv Levy and Bill Polian. They pulled me aside early on in my career when I had had my first knee surgery, and I think that they had understood and they saw through my work ethic and my study habits and my eating habits and trying to take care of myself that we have to preserve his career for as long as we could possibly do. So while most guys were going through two-a-days, they realized that I had figured it out and that light switch had gone off. And rather than coming to training camp looking to get in shape, I had already come into camp at my playing weight and in shape. So I was always a step ahead of my opponent. You know, another critical part for me was bringing Ted Cottrell to the Buffalo Bills. He taught me how to study film. And when I learned how to study film and break down the opponent, that was one of the ways that the game started slowing down for me. And I think thirdly, and obviously the God-given talent and ability and my losing 40 pounds in my second year, but having an offense that was able to put up points as quickly as they did, which put the opposing team in passing, a lot of passing situations, which created a lot more opportunities to get to the quarterback. And obviously the defense that I played on, and we were known for our linebacking core. You know, Daryl Talley, the unsung hero on our team, and Cornelius Bennett and Shane Conlin and so many others. So I give a lot of credit to those folks and the nucleus of our organization.
You know, you talk about that, and I agree with you on all those counts. It was a lot of people involved in it, not only from Bill Polian, Marv Levy, but all, you know, Teddy Cottrell, who we both love and respect a lot. But also, you know, the guys on the team, you know, Jim and Thurman and all those guys scoring points and
yep.
putting you in a lot of pass rushing situations and Daryl and Cornelius, who were there to, you know, compliment you. But I'll tell you this, and I say this to a lot, I speak to a lot of different groups and I tell a lot of young people this, you can have all the talent like you had, but not everybody has the discipline to drop 40 pounds from their rookie year to their second, especially when you got 13 sacks your rookie season.
Actually, that was my second season. I got 15 sacks my first season, if I recall.
Right, and then you didn't go to the Pro Bowl. You got 15 sacks, didn't go to the Pro Bowl, so you got snubbed there. You come back and then start dropping weight to get better. And I think that's when I talk about Hall of Fame guys, that's why the bar is so high, is because you're not only were you the most talented, you also worked harder than anybody on the team. I mean, you can because I remember you used to wear those Stairmasters out.
Oh, yeah, I after my first knee surgery, the doctors told me not to run on, particularly outdoors, on concrete, on pavement, and things of that nature. And that's one of the things that I miss now, that I can't go outside and take a 2 or 3 mile jog and so forth. And so I've been limited to using low impact machines, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up this next name, Rusty Jones. What a remarkable trainer, nutritionist, and so forth. I think he did wonders for the Buffalo Bills so far as, you know, making sure that we were keeping our body fat down, keeping guys conditioned properly, keeping us hydrated, and so forth. And I owe a great deal of credit to him as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting, Frank Reich, who just got a head coaching job, you know, a former teammate of ours, he hired Rusty Jones out of retirement to come and be his strength conditioning coach. And you're right, Bruce, there's so many, it was such a special group that you were a huge part of, that we used to refer to Rusty was not the strength conditioning coach. We thought he was a scientist.
Because he was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
He was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun to be in there watching him and having him come up with stuff for us to do that we had looked sideways at first, and then as he earned our trust and we saw the results of what he was doing, it was pretty easy to go in there and work hard at these new and different training methods.
There is no doubt about it, and it didn't hurt having the greatest special teams player that ever played a game on your team as
Mark
well.
Mark Pike was a great player.
Yeah. Steve, you know how I feel about you, man, and you're the greatest special teams player that ever played, in my opinion, and you deserve to have one of those gold jackets on one day, and we're going to keep fighting for you.
Well, I'd appreciate it. You can come on the show tomorrow and say the exact same thing, I guess.
No. Well, all right. Sounds like a plan.
I'm
teasing. Hey, Bruce, I got a question texted in to me from a guy you're going to know. He said, ask him about the 3-4 versus a 4-3. That question from Thurman Thomas, listening to the show and wanted me to ask you that question.
Oh, Thurman, we just got back from Napa Valley. I set up a trip for six of the couples, unfortunately, our beloved quarterback Jim couldn't make it because he was having some difficulties with his health. But they ragged me from the beginning of the trip to the end of the trip, talking about a 3-4 versus a 4-3. So Thurman, I'm sure you're not sincere about that question, but I'll see you soon, and we can have a face-to-face conversation about it.
And that's one of the things about it that is really astonishes. Not just you talk a little bit, too, and I've heard you guys talk about it. You and Thurman and Jim and Andre, James Lofton, get together in the Hall of Famers, and you go to Canton. In fact, Thurman's going to Canton for a little event here in the near future. But one of the things that stands out about your group from that era is that other teams and other Hall of Famers notice how close-knit you guys are, even this far removed from your careers. Even today, you have such a close relationship. And I, you know, the Napa trip and all the stuff that goes on, there's just something there that goes beyond football.
Yeah, and it's pretty unique. I don't know of a group of guys that have played in the NFL that are as tight as we are 15, 20 years later after our career is over. We gravitate towards one another. There's this genuine love and admiration and respect and just family type of values and endearment that we share with one another. And it is so special, and you know, sometimes I'm off and I drift off and start thinking about years in the past, and I got to tell you, I miss you guys, man. I miss you, Savvy. You got to tell that story about your son and Crick Dag. Them damn.
I get to tell. That's not for air. That's not for air, but yeah. Well, I was on that. We were on the Napa trip, and I told them some. We had started sharing stories, and we all have kids now, right? Yeah. And they're all kids, are all adults, and we all start talking about how it was when they were little, and the stupid stuff we did with our kids, and the, you know, and we start using our kids as weapons against each other because of but one last thing, Bruce, I got to tell you, yeah. I know you. You spend a lot of time. I mean, you being a Hall of Fame guy is kind of a part-time, and maybe some guys it's a full-time job. You're hooked up with the NFL. I know that you've got thoughts about it. You know what's going on here. I know you guys follow all of us. We follow the Buffalo Bills faithfully. What are your thoughts? I mean, you've seen how the game has changed. You've seen how the rules have changed. But forget about all of that. I want to know what you think about how the draft has changed, because when you and I and all those other guys played, nobody ever traded anybody for any reason.
Right.
And now you've got pre-draft trades always going on, and now people are anticipating there might be five trades in the first round this year coming up on Thursday. Talk a little about what your thoughts are and about how that's changed.
Well, I want to disagree with you a little bit, because there were trades that were taking place. I don't think that it was this mass production that the NFL puts on now. Remember, that's how we were able to get Cornelius Bennett.
That was a trade of the century.
Yeah, and remember how Dallas, I think, rose to prominence when they traded Herschel Walker and they got all of those first round draft picks, and they built that franchise into being one of the best teams of all time.
Yeah, that might have been the trade of the century.
Yeah, that was the trade.
Yeah,
of the
that
century.
Was a that was an Herschel enormous Walker. One. That
yeah.
might have been it.
Yeah.
Both those, and they were right in our era. And
yep.
they, I think one of the reasons, because they were so unexpected, like I said, it didn't happen all that often, but those two
right.
trades involved so many guys and at such a high level and turned into such huge draft picks for the Cowboys. That's why, you know, they stand alone as examples of how things are different then than they are now.
Yeah, that was the Herschel Walker trade was the best trade for the Cowboys, but was the worst for the 31 other teams. because obviously it stacked the tables for the Cowboys and what I think the opposing team, I think you went to Minnesota or...
Yeah, Minnesota.
Exactly. Yeah.
Minnesota.
So I think that they felt that they didn't get the better end of the deal so far as that trade was concerned. But nevertheless, you know, coming up for this upcoming draft, we have got to get a dominant pass rusher. We have got to stabilize that quarterback position, and we're going to have to expand on building that offensive lineup. The two most important positions on a football team, the quarterback and a pass rusher, and those are the two things that we have not had stability at for a number of years. So That would be my focus, and hopefully we'll be able to accomplish some of those goals. I do know we have some draft picks, so that's where we need to focus our attention
on. They got draft picks versus the Bills, that, as you know, six picks in the first three rounds. And I was looking back at your year. The Bills had eight picks in the first four rounds. You were obviously there at the top of the draft. Derek Burrow's also a first rounder. He was a pretty good player.
He was a great player.
He was, but he got hurt.
Right.
Yeah. And obviously, I don't think the Bills receive. You don't get compensation when a player gets hurt.
Right.
So unfortunately, that set us back. And you're right. Derek Burrow's was a very good player.
Frank Reich's in that draft. He's an important player in history. But another Hall of Famer, Andre Reed, two Hall of Famers in one draft class. That's incredible. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, we were fortunate. And, you know, I look at our team and how our team was built. I feel that we had a lot of blue-collar workers in a blue-collar town that gave us a great sense of appreciation for one another. And it was a marriage that worked and that turned into a love affair.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it's interesting. By the way, I got to fine you a dollar for saying we and us, because we here in the media, we can't take sides. And you saying we and us and our, it's still, because I do the same thing when I'm off the air, because you spend so much time in this city. The city is kind of home, even though you live now in Richmond. But it's.
Yeah. Virginia.
Virginia Beach. Yeah, it's it does stick with you. I mean, it was a time in your life when we were all young. We were all, you know, doing all that stuff on the football field. But really, the relationship between the city and the team was unique at that time as well. And I tell this to people all the time because it's a different world we live in. We played in Rich Stadium, which is now New Era Field. But it was before any of the box seats were there, and it was before they had even replays on the scoreboard. And I remember vividly that clear back then, when they didn't have any replays, the crowds were louder more consistently because they wouldn't stop cheering to watch the highlight or the replay on the video screen. You'd never see a replay. So the fans always had their eyes on the field and were always cheering for one thing or another.
Now they're watching their phones.
Yeah. Everything's different.
Yeah, that the world of technology that we live in, and I think that's what made it so exciting for us, and for me, being a defensive end and a pass rusher that loved to take advantage of the snap count when the offensive line couldn't hear the quarterback and its cadences, so it gave me that competitive advantage. To get in a rhythm and to have to hype the crowd up so they would get engaged, then all of a sudden that left tackle couldn't hear the snap count, and he was a quarter of a second slow off the ball, and that was all the edge I needed. So, I'm still thankful to the fans up in Buffalo and all over Western New York and Bills fans all over the country. You guys are truly the greatest, and I just love you guys today.
Bruce, great memories. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us here today, and we'll be thinking about you on Thursday night when the first pick comes off the board. Thank you very much.
Thanks, big man.
Sounds good. Okay, right. Savvy, talk to you soon.
You bet, man.
Bruce Smith, former Bills first-round pick, first overall pick, 33 years ago, 1985. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. We both came across this. This was... A couple of weeks ago, NFL.com did a ranking. A lot of rankings going on this time of year online. Ranking the 51 number one overall picks in the common draft era. So since 1967, they ranked the top number one picks, 51. Number two, Bruce Smith.
Right behind Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning number one, Bruce Smith, John Elway, Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, that's... And he said it. He didn't. He said a little bit of it. But the thing that gets you about him, I mean, he was talented, and he had the big ego. He was confident, and he was talking. Yeah, he was great. But that guy, whatever you think of that guy, worked really hard to be really good. I mean, he put in a lot of time working really hard on the practice field, off the practice field, in the film room. Everything he got was related back to the how hard he was willing to work to get there. And I tell you what, I can't that stuck with me. That'll always stick with me about Bruce, is how hard he was willing to work to be the greatest of all time. And he was.
He did wear out Stairmasters, right? I mean,
he bought one back when nobody was making money. He bought one of these, like, you know, back then it was $5,000 for one of these machines that was like a real staircase that was on a treadmill.
Right.
It was like an escalator going, you know, and he'd sit you'd go in and work out. He'd be on there when you got there. You'd do a full workout, lifting and doing whatever. You'd leave. He'd still be on it. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable how long he could stand on a Stairmaster and just keep going and going and going.
Bruce Smith, we thank you for joining us. Got a lot more to come. Want to get your thoughts, get your ideas on the air, whether on the telephone line or on Twitter. Our Twitter poll today, we're 2 days away from the NFL draft. Has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed? If so, tell us why and how. How has it changed? And which quarterback, this is the simple part, which quarterback do you want the Bills to get? On Twitter, we've had the Twitter poll up for a couple of hours. 37% of you want the Bills to wind up with Josh Rosen or somebody else. 30% of you want the Bills to wind up with Baker Mayfield. 24% of you want the Bills to wind up with Sam Darnold. And 9% want the Bills to wind up with Josh Allen. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air. We're back with more in a moment. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here. Want to get you set for tomorrow night's draft special presented by New Era Cap. Tomorrow night, TV show. It airs on WKBW TV Channel 7 in Buffalo, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Then re-airs, or doesn't re-air, yeah, it re-airs, airs again. 8 o'clock on MSG, 30-minute draft special airs tomorrow night. I'm part of it. Steve Tasker's part of it. You can hear from Bills GM Brandon Bean. You can talk to Steve. I talk with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. Chris Brown, this is the part I can't wait to see. Chris Brown takes you behind the scenes with Bills assistant GM Joe Shane and director of college scouting Terrence Gray. Give you a look at how the draft board is put together. That's going to be worth seeing, I think. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on Channel 7 in Buffalo, 8 o'clock on MSG, our Buffalo Bills draft special. We're talking about the draft. It is 2 days away. It was good to reminisce with Bruce Smith about the draft. Which quarterback do you want the Bills to get? And a couple of days away, has your perception of the draft and the quarterbacks changed at all, of the quarterbacks in particular? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A call from Don in North Tonawanda. Go ahead, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You bet.
I just want to say, Steve, I think you are a great addition to the show. And Bruce took a little bit of my thunder by saying I totally agree. If a if these writers ever get over their prejudice about special teamers, you deserve to be in the Hall.
Can I interrupt you just for a second, Aaron? We'll get back to you here in a second. Now, did you see, you know, my buddy Clark Judge writes for Talk of Fame?
Oh, I know the name. I don't know him.
He wrote about you. When I'll find it. I found it on Twitter this morning. He said, when are people going to snap out of it and put Steve Tasker in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? What are you laughing about? You know, you laugh, but it's a real thing. Clark Judge, who's been writing about the NFL.
It's a real thing.
He's been writing about the NFL for 30 years. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame committee. Where is it? Here's the headline. State your case. Time to realize that Steve Tasker was a Hall of Fame special teamer. Just saying.
Well, yeah, listen. For
time to realize Tasker was special as the head.
Here's the thing. This is all I want to say about it. 100%. For every guy like him that there is, Don the Caller and you, Murph, Clark Judge, right. And for every guy like there is that say, hey, you should be in, there's 10 of them that say there's absolutely no way. So it's a debate, no question. And I appreciate the conversation, but, you know, it's not for me to decide.
Right. Anyway, you know? Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Don. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah. Well, I was just I would chime in about the quarterbacks. I kind of agree with John about Sam Darnold. If I had my choice, that would be the one.
He seems the safest pick.
Yeah, and he's young. But being a jaded Bills fan, I've been a Bills fan since the early 60s. And Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, we've seen Baker Mayfield. Reminds me of Flutie or Tyrod, a short guy. He never worked in Buffalo. And then we had a guy with all the intangible or the measurables with E.J. Manuel. Bad accuracy. He never panned out. Yeah. So we've seen this before, and that's why I wouldn't want to see the Bills trade up to try to get one of those guys. Now, if they fell to them at 12, take them. But I can't see trading up for them guys.
Right. So you're a Sam Darnold advocate. If you had in a perfect world and you had the first pick of the draft, that's the guy you're going to go for. I've heard a lot of that because when you push comes to shove and you start thinking about what these guys have to offer, Darnold's flaws. He has no flaws except he threw interceptions at USC. Strong arm, big guy, durable, athletic, great character. He's possibly the face of the franchise. And I had always thought maybe him being young, like 20 years old, was a detriment. Maybe he's not ready to step into a huddle. But by the same token, you're going to get him for an extra 2 years at the end of his career. When he's 35, you've had him for 15 years instead of 13 years, you know, so it's give or take one or the other. But yeah, I think he's the safest pick because most coaches, and I think I got to agree with him, you can coach interceptions out of a guy by his thought process and the choices that he makes out of the pocket.
But you pretty much can't coach accuracy into a guy. They tried it with EJ.
Well, that's hard. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I don't want to say never, you can't, but they struggled doing that with EJ, but I don't doubt that there are guys around who they maybe could fix their accuracy problems with. I don't know, but you got to have a guy who knows how to do it with the guy that you draft. So I don't know that guy exists here in Buffalo or on most of the teams in the NFL.
Thanks for your call, Jeff or Don in North Tonawanda. A couple of tweets on this issue. We ask you, who do you want if it comes right down to it? Who do you want a quarterback? Thomas Durlach's tweet on our tweet sheet. I like Mason Rudolph. He had the best downfield passing yards of any of the quarterbacks. Some say he is a linebacker playing quarterback. Heard this once before. If the Bills pick at 12 and Roquan Smith and Allen were both on board, who would you take? Me, Roquan, all day. Let me answer your question, I guess, and I'll let Steve get in on this too, Thomas. Linebacker playing quarterback, okay, whatever that is. I know what the reference is to, but
right.
Is that really what you're looking for? If the Bills picked at 12 and Roquan Smith and Josh Allen were on the board, who would you take? I'd take Josh Allen, and I would regret the fact that I didn't have a chance to get Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to take the chance on the quarterback. Roquan Smith is probably a can't-miss prospect.
Mm-hmm. Love Roquan Smith.
Right, I do too, but
got to get a quarterback.
You got to get a quarterback. I think you got to get a quarterback.
Tweet from Shay Lambert. For me, the best option is to sit put and draft Lamar Jackson, hands down the most dangerous quarterback in the draft, and would allow our offensive coordinator to get creative with the game plan. Your thoughts on that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly possible. I mean, last year down in Houston under Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson burst onto the. He was not the first quarterback taken. He was just another guy in that class. And all of a sudden, in week five or six, they had a five-game stretch in Houston where they were scoring 30 points a game, 29 point something points a game. It seemed like they were scoring 30 a game, and they had the number one defense in the league. That's before J.J. Watt and went down with his injury. They were really clicking in Houston with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson coming out had a lot of the same attributes that Lamar Jackson does. And if you could transpose that, I mean, that's hard to walk away from. And Deshaun Watson was doing it from the pocket. I mean, he was standing there, and I've heard a lot of people say Lamar Jackson was a highly underrated pocket passer. He threw a lot of footballs from the pocket and was very good doing it. It wasn't like he just, at the first sign of an other-colored jersey, he bolted out of there and started running. It wasn't like that. He had some pretty good pocket presence. And I know for a guy like Lamar Jackson who's, you know, can run and does that, like, you know, he doesn't want to get saddled with that athlete playing quarterback moniker. I think he's a much better passer than people give him credit for. I don't know that he's going to be able to overcome it because at one point, he was listed at 6'3", 205. Now he's gotten up to about 216, so he's putting on some weight. But you can't play it under that light at quarterback.
I don't think he's for the Bills, based on what Brandon Bean has said about the kind of quarterback he's looking for. I don't think he's for Buffalo. He's for somebody.
He's 6'3". He's got a strong arm, and he's got all that. But I don't know. We'll see.
Going to talk about Lamar Jackson in a minute when we get to NFL True or False. I want to get at least one more call in here. We asked, who do you want a quarterback for the Bills? We also asked, has your mind changed at all on any of these premium quarterbacks? And Joe in Cheektowaga says, yes, his mind has changed. Joe, what do you got?
I read the article in the paper this morning, and it made a lot of sense. It said even though Mason Rudolph doesn't have a lot of
Hello? Yeah,
go ahead,
here.
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I said I was leaning towards Darnold until I read the article in the paper this morning about Rudolph and how Mason Rudolph and his process of thinking is a lot quicker than the other quarterbacks. And so even though he's not as tall and he doesn't have a strong arm, I mean, that's what the great quarterbacks that can process real quick, like Brady and Breeze is as tall as Rudolph. So I've kind of changed my mind towards Rudolph.
Yeah, Mayfield, I mean, Rudolph, I think you got those two confused. Breeze is not as tall as Mason Rudolph. He's as tall as Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's as tall as Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Mason Rudolph is one of those guys like Josh Allen, Darnold, and Rosen. I mean, he's tall enough, 6'3", 6'4", and he's, you know, he's all that. But, yeah, Baker Mayfield is the one in this draft, the guy in this draft who is built like Drew Breeze and has the personality. That has kind of followed him around, and that's been the big question and the big, well, both the question, both the attribute and the concern. I mean, he's a great leader. His teammates loved him. He was boisterous. He walked on to two different places. The guy's a winner. I mean, he works his way up through the roster and gets on the field, and he's made himself into a Heisman Trophy candidate after being a walk-on and transferring schools. I mean, that's a guy that can win. And so he's got all that going for him, but he's short for a quarterback.
I got something on the tweet sheet that's going to challenge you. Are you up for that, or would you rather just you know, go home in 20 minutes?
I'll try and rise to it.
I'm afraid you're going to get upset. On Twitter from TManny22 for Steve. Ready? He goes, sorry, but Steve makes no sense. He says he wants fans on Twitter poll to pick number one quarterback, to pick one quarterback, yet his answer is three of the quarterbacks. He also says he doesn't want Josh Allen as the quarterback because of what's between the ears, but TManny22 says Allen is the most level-headed blue-collar guy with heart among the top six.
Oh, I don't doubt that he's blue-collar, but you're right. And let me tell you something. If I had to pick a guy who I wanted to play.
You're going to say Josh Allen. No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
You don't believe that.
No, I might pick Sam Darnold just because, and for me, because if I'm making that choice, I got to live with the guy. I know he's the safest guy to pick for all of them.
Yeah.
He's big, he's got a strong arm, played at the top competition level. And, you know, as far as Josh Allen, yeah, he's a blue collar. Working hard, hey, being a hard worker, that's great. It's not going to make you smarter. I mean, you got to throw the ball has to go where you aim it. And Josh Allen doesn't put the ball in the tight enough window for me. That's it. But I'll tell you what, he throws it at 100 miles an hour, but it's in the wrong direction sometimes. And people are going to kill me for that, too, because Sam Darnold threw a lot of interceptions. So what are you talking about? But I'm telling you, that's just the way I feel about it. But I'm saying, like you, Murph, we've said it 100 times, I'll take any one of those four at the top. And I'll take any one of the six. I'll go all the way down to, you know, we're talking about Mason Rudolph and Lamar Jackson being behind Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Mayfield.
Yeah.
And then it's Mason Rudolph and Lamar Jackson. I'll take any one of those guys. I'll take any one of those guys because I know this. We've got A.J. McCarron already in the building and Nate Peterman already in the building, and those guys are not bad at all either.
And on Friday
morning, let them compete.
On Friday morning at 9 a.m., the focus shifts from who did you pick last night to how you going to get that guy to play and play well. And now it's coaching, which I'm eager to see. You know what I mean? Friday morning when the quarterback is in the fold, which I believe he will be, now the whole thing shifts, not just to that guy and his faults, his strengths, his personality, his, you know, all of that is over because now you got to find a way to make it work.
Yeah, and just like I said, most of us, if not a ton of us, are going to be like, I picked the wrong guy.
All right.
But so what? You know what?
He's
it don't matter.
Now. Make it work.
And Buffalo will. I mean, some of them, they'll be disgruntled for a while. But they'll see some interviews. He'll come on the radio with us. We'll talk to him, and then he's going to get one big hug from Buffalo, and they're going to be in. He's going to be their guy until he's not.
I got a call lined up here, which I'm not sure I want to take because it could. Well, I'm taking it. Greg in Rochester, go ahead, Greg. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing today?
Great,
good, Greg. What's up?
Well, as far as the quarterback situation goes, because I know that's the thing that you're asking first, I don't have all the stats on the guys, but for me, if I was scouting, what I would look for, things like, durability, you know, what kind of competition he's going against, but visibility on the field, the ability to make quick decisions, and how are they as a teammate. As far as for throwing, you got to have obviously targets to go through, and it's got to be around the rest of the team. So any quarterback you take has got to show the skills, but there's certain things that I would look for, and I'm not sure how to see those specific things. Also for quickness of release, I don't have those stats, so I can't pick any one of the guys. But the big thing, and I think Bruce Smith really brought it up and highlighted extremely well, that I have seen in Buffalo in years behind the scenes is the importance of the trainers to keep the guys on the field and to get the most out of the individuals. And I wish there was a way to draft a good trainer.
They have a new trainer that just started a couple months ago. But do you have any evidence that the trainers here have not been?
Number of injuries.
Compare to any other NFL teams?
I think compared to other NFL teams, they've seen a lot higher.
I want numbers. I want evidence. I don't want – look, you probably – and we love having you, Greg, on the air and love having you as a Bills fan. I'm sorry, Greg, let me talk. I'm guessing that you feel that way because you follow the Bills closer than any other team and you know all their injuries. I submit the Bills have not had an unusual amount of injuries over the years. I don't think there's any evidence of that.
I've sure seen it, seems to me, enough. I mean, I watch a lot of –
Is one thing. I want evidence.
Now, there's no question there was a time, particularly when Dick Geron was a head coach, but this, you know, it was years ago, when they had more guys on IR than anybody in the league, and they did that maybe 2 out of 3 years of his tenure. But I think one of the things that I noticed was that as far back as when Doug Whaley first took over as general manager, the immediate effect was that they started drafting much bigger guys, particularly in the offensive and defensive line and in the linebacker core. They got bigger and bigger, and for that reason got more durable because if you're bigger and heavier, you can withstand more collisions and stuff. So I thought they got healthier and healthier as the years went on.
I agree. Should not have taken
that call. It's the trainers are the last – the trainers aren't out there with hammers making these guys injured.
That'd be a problem.
And it's like how the trainers can help these guys feel better, but they can't make the human body heal faster than it needs to heal.
Okay. Thanks for your call. We're going to come back in a moment. The John Murphy Show is no longer here. It's One Bills Live presented by – All right.
It's a dollar.
I didn't mean to say it. I did say it. It's here. It is One Bills Live presented from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. I almost got out of it. Time now for What Have We Learned? We ask that question at the end of the day. What have we learned from today's show? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a heck of a show. Nathan Peterman joined us in the first hour of the show, Bills quarterback Nathan Peterman. And he talked about going into his second year and how much different, how much better this is for him right now.
A lot more comfortable. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's been great seeing all the guys back like we talked about. And then really just to know what's ahead of us. I mean, you know, some of the other rookies we were talking the other day, just of, you know, how much uncertainty has kind of cleared up for us. And, you know, obviously in the NFL, things are always changing. So there's still that aspect of things. But, you know, at least schedule-wise, hey, I know what an OTA looks like. I know, you know, what camp looks like. And so to kind of settle into that aspect of it and, again, just work on getting better every day and have some clarity around that, that's been good.
It's good to talk to Nathan Peterman today. We also spoke with Ian Rappaport, NFL insider from NFL Network. We asked him which quarterbacks might drop down in the first round on Thursday night, maybe not a top five pick. Here's what Rap Sheet had to say about that.
I would be surprised if Darnold or Mayfield is available after, say, four. As far as the others, they could be. I mean, not saying they're going to be, but there could be. I mean, I could see scenarios where Josh Allen is available at five or six, for instance. I could see scenarios where Josh Rosen is available at 11. You know, what if he's there at 10 and the Bills say, you know what, Rosen's our guy, we're going to go from 12 to 10 and we're going to jump the Dolphins and we're going to just take our quarterback of the future.
That'd be pretty cool, I think. You know, we talked, was it yesterday, the ideal scenario? If somebody drops, whether it's, I would take Josh Allen, I would take Josh Rosen, I would certainly take Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. If somebody drops down there, Steve, to 12.
Take him.
Absolutely, you take him.
Take him.
And maybe you got a good one, maybe you don't. But not have to give up the rest of the draft to do that, I think it'd be huge.
Because you're
going to
get a ton of good guys. Yeah. And you got six picks in the first 96 picks. Yeah, you're going to get a ton of spots on your roster filled right away.
Our Twitter poll today, I thought it was a good one, actually. Two-part question. 2 days away from the draft, has your perception of the quarterback prospects changed? Yes, no, why? Got a lot of good response on that. Some people said no, not at all. Others said, yeah, it has changed. Yeah. And the other one, which quarterback then do you eventually want the Bills to get, irregardless really of the cost it would take to move up or whatever? And on Twitter, 37% of you have settled on Josh Rosen. It's a pretty close vote. 30% say Baker Mayfield. 24% say Sam Darnold. 9% say Josh Allen. It's an interesting vote, and it's close, I think. I'm surprised. Look, again, we talked about it early in the show. I know Josh Rosen. I believe Josh Rosen is the best passer in this class. Is he the best quarterback prospect? I don't know. I'm not willing to say that yet.
His upside may be not as huge as those other guys. He may be, but he's going to be, I think, ready to play a little earlier than the other, at least ready to play well earlier than the other guys. But then again, that could be wrong as well. You get draft Mason Rudolph or Lamar Jackson or Sam Darnold, and one of those guys turns out to be a guy who from day one plays well. It doesn't really happen all that often, but yeah, I mean, I'm stoked about the possibility that we're going to get either one of those guys. And yeah. Whoever it's going to be, I'm going to love the guy, I'm sure.
Best answer of the day, Ian Rappaport, when I asked him, why is Baker Mayfield now said maybe he's number one after Rosen was there, after Darnold was there for so long, even Josh Allen was there, and Ian Rappaport said, I think it's because we're bored. He's right. Not bored, but just like, come on.
Yeah.
2 days away. We can wait. Yeah. 2 days till the draft. We can wait. But all of us can't wait, really, because it's going to be fun.
That's what we learned today.
Yeah.
But tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a good show. Jeremy Curley, brand new Bills wide receiver, scheduled to be joining us after the offseason conditioning workout tomorrow. And a special guest from NFL Network.
Yeah, Aditi Kinkabwala from NFL Network is going to come on with us. And she's.
Did you write down her name?
I did. I just want to make sure. I like her stuff.
I do, too.
I like her, but you got to get the name right, Aditi Kinkabwala.
She's here covering the draft for NFL Network, and she's scheduled to join us on the show tomorrow. We hope, anyway. We'll put that together. So, want to thank our production assistants, George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, and James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. And we're back tomorrow with another installment of the show, the One Bills Drive Show, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon.
That's another dollar.